This is PFW in Progress.
They tell you all the time what to do, what to think, what to feel. Do you want to be like a chief, like all those other people, man? Do you want to work 8-10 hours? You own nothing? You got nothing? Do you know I eat octopus 3 times a day? How do you like that? I'm a political prisoner, and I want my human right. Now, just like the president, Jimmy Carter says.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Why don't you try sticking your head up your ass? See if it fits.
Paul Perillo.
You're 50, you got a bag for a belly, they got hair on them, you got a liver, they got spots on it, and you're a junkie. Sleeps all day with them black shades on, wakes up with a quailu.
And Andy.
You need people like me. You need people like me so you can point your fingers and say, that's the bad guy.
Andy Hart.
So say goodnight to the bad guy. Come on. Last time you're going to see a bad guy like this again. Let me tell you.
Some guy named Tom.
Let's get this straight. All I have in this world is my balls and my word. And I don't break them for no one. Do you understand?
PFW in Progress.
You want to play rough? Okay.
No.
Say hello to my little friend.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang is all here. It's Tuesday. We told you we'd see you today. And here we are. And, guys, what's going on? Do you have a good weekend?
Not bad.
Yeah?
Good weekend, Freddie.
See, I'm pretending like this is the first time we've seen each other, even though we saw each other yesterday.
I saw you for about 35 seconds.
Actually, you're right. I came in, and then I had to go to Cambridge, and
for
I was
what?
Gone for the day.
Where were you?
At Cambridge, the Architects. England? For the museum.
Call comes to us direct from the Worcester Telegram and
trying to get this museum done. Trying to get this Patriots Hall of Fame done.
I thought it had an executive director.
It does.
So what do you have to do?
Why do you have to hold his hand?
Well,
exactly. That's my point. The guy can't handle the job.
No. There's a lot.
One of these days he's actually going to be listening and I'm going to laugh.
I'm just saying there's an executive director, but you do everything.
It's not a one man.
No wonder the crafts love you.
It's not a one man.
There's probably an executive director of the CBS scene, but you do everything.
Everybody needs to get involved and help out.
Us. Just told
well,
my
then
co-worker.
His title shouldn't be executive director.
In progress.
All right, it's a learning
and he
curve.
Gave me the bird.
It's a learning curve. Yeah. All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. 508-543-7482 is the phone number.
Evidently, Fred's been listening to Eric when he fills in. He's very professional at getting those. Email address and the phone number
the
out there right away.
Time,
not quite the same as Eric, who does. Patriots Football Weekly, that's what the PFW stands for, and PFW in Progress.
Guys, some news. Troy Brown down talking with the Jets. Are we upset about that?
Does it bother you, Fred?
Yes.
Why?
I don't want to see
I don't blame Troy Brown at all.
It doesn't
Patriots
bother
don't
me
want
about,
him back.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me about Troy himself, but
no.
I
don't want him to be a
I
Jet,
hope he
though.
Doesn't. I hope right. he doesn't play for the
Jets. He's smart.
Why? Why can't he just retire?
Well, I think he Seriously. Wants to play.
He wants to play.
But come on.
I know, but why can't he just retire?
Because he wants to play.
No one's ever going to remember it.
Bingo!
Right.
I mean,
Emmitt
never
gonna
be
Smith played for the Cardinals.
You're
and,
me,
in 10 years, no one's ever
You know how many of these
that?
NFL film specials I see and they show some like great quarterback or something and I go,
like
huh,
Joe
really?
Namath? Or...
He played for them?
Yeah.
Well, there's a website and I forget what it is now, but it's like... That's the theme of it, is guys in uniforms that you don't remember.
Willie Mays, what do you go?
Franco Harris.
But I love watching them. I love looking at those shots.
But who cares? I mean, 5 years
matter.
After it, no one remembers it. He's a Patriot.
No, I don't care about it for Troy. And I agree with Fred. I don't blame Troy at all. He wants to play, and he's going to look to see a team that will take him. But I'm just personally, I hope he doesn't play for the Jets because I hate the Jets. That's all.
That's all. You know.
What happened to I'm not going to play for a team that plays
the
Patriots?
Yeah, that was strange when no one else showed interest.
Right, no one called. I'll open it up a little bit. We'll take all bidders.
What do you think the likelihood of him going to the Jets is?
51%. 100%.
100% that he'll go to the Jets. Colvin's still out there, too. What do you think's going on with him?
Still recovering?
I got to figure out what his health status is.
Okay.
Hope it's not a Lisfranc.
Lisfranc? The Diary of Lisfranc.
I got bigger things to worry about. I still got to figure out how I'm going to have my first bowel movement. And
could he be a Patriot still? Could he be re-signed with the Patriots, you think?
He wants to
I
take
suppose
less
it's
money.
Possible, but I don't think it's, it's going to happen. I don't think it had as much to do with money as it did health.
Okay. What other news is out there you guys want to talk about?
You just about hit it all, Fred.
I was going to say, you pretty much...
Paul was on EEI yesterday.
7 minutes it took you to
just dominate the talk yesterday, Paul.
Good news out of Orlando, Florida. Dale Earnhardt
It was
died.
Like a man among boys.
But I don't know if you listened, Fred, when I was doing a lot of PFW referencing.
Oh,
a lot
good.
A lot of Patriots.com radio
it's
referencing.
About time.
And a lot of Tom Casale referencing.
Really?
For Antoine Kaysen.
Okay.
I said he's been telling us about him for over a year. I think he's the best corner. I don't think there's any corner worthy of taking at seven, which we've talked about on this show, obviously, at length. But I was saying how, you know, the whole training down thing, if they're able to do that, I think this guy from Arizona that Tom's been telling us about makes a lot of sense. We like him a lot, and, you know, the more we watch it. And I actually mentioned that we have the tapes that we watch. And Buckley stops. He goes, "You guys watch tape?"
Yeah, you said we watch tape. We saw him at the combine.
Well, I think I said
we're
saw
a family
him
here
combine.
At PFW.
No, well, I certainly gave Tom and Andy enough references to let
get
everybody
us on the
know.
Show?
Yeah, to let everybody know where I was
to
coming
get a paycheck
from.
In our pocket.
Because unlike Hans and Franz, I treat it as a family. They
oh,
cast
we treat
me
it as a family.
They cast me aside.
You're the older brother. We make fun of.
I'm only referenced on your appearances in a negative fashion.
Well, that's because the host has something against you.
The host is a jerk.
And I wouldn't worry about it anyway. They got
Paul Perillo from
T-minus
Patriots Football Weekly.
15 days until they're out. So,
is it 15 days? Is that
whatever
quick?
April 1st is?
Oh, really? That's the drop.
My understanding is they have a lease that runs out as of April 1st. And if you don't have a building,
my understanding is they're not going to renew it.
I mean, if you don't have a building,
won't be seeing ESPN Radio no more.
Unless they're going to broadcast out of a car somewhere, I don't think they're going to have a station.
I would be remiss if I didn't say we did have a change in lunch schedule. So today's slot is open.
Yes.
In case in the past Gary said we couldn't fit you in today. So if you are inclined, you can let Gary know.
Please.
And there's a slot open.
Please, please, please.
Well, people are too busy fighting for the Thursday before the draft for some reason.
Yeah, it's a weird phenomenon. People are buying lunches in advance,
for the future.
But skipping forward.
That's okay.
Don't it seems about, like signing future
don't
lunch
about,
contracts.
Yeah, they don't want us about to be, the present.
They want us exactly. to be fed the week of the draft. I think they don't want any complaints, any lack of energy. They want us good to go that week.
Speaking of the draft, any diamonds in the rough you guys have uncovered in your tape watching?
Dan Klecko.
No?
Same guys we've been talking about.
Yeah, I didn't bring my sheets.
No?
I got nothing for you, Fred. Unless you're going to talk about the tournament, I'm out.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I watched the running backs this morning, and I really don't think the Patriots are...
Mendenhall
much
is
in the
best
well,
in the draft.
Mendenhall's yeah. tremendous. He's certainly no diamond in the rough.
He will have a 10-year career and rush for 10,000 yards.
Yeah, and I believe that someone's going to trade up into the top 10 to get him, especially if McFadden's gone. Say he goes to the Raiders. I think that presents an opportunity for the Patriots to trade down because I really believe his draft stock is going to keep going up and up as we get to the draft. And I'm just throwing a team out there. It's no link whatsoever. But a team like the Eagles, who have been looking for another guy to go with Westbrook, they've been very active this offseason. It's obvious they want to make a run right now for another Super Bowl. Maybe they move up and take a Mendenhall and put him with Westbrook, something like that.
Mm-hmm. But they've been looking for backs. They hosted Kevin Jones, right?
Right. So they've been looking for guys. But I just think Mendenhall, I don't think he's going to be around at like 15, 16. So I think the running backs are the key to the Patriots trading down, whether it be McFadden's there or if someone else tries to come up to get Mendenhall.
Well, that'll be interesting because I think those two are the elite guys, complete backs, despite the five other guys who at the combine told me they were elite complete backs. I think those two are a notch above the rest. And to me, the difference with Mendenhall is the off-the-field stuff. I think he's a surer bet, whereas McFadden, to me, if you have this many red flags and issues already, despite how many times you tell me you learn from your mistakes, you've sort of already shown me you don't necessarily learn from your mistakes. So I think that's the huge separation.
If you watch those two guys, I mean, I know it's highlight tapes that we watch, and you're not seeing the negative plays and stuff, but just two really, really dynamic players. But Andy makes an interesting point, you know, that we haven't really heard anything negative off the field about Mendenhall, so that might be something that...
And even the good stuff with his brother and how much he enjoyed when he basically forced Illinois to bring his, you know, they were sort of a package duo in the recruiting process.
Yeah.
And then when he played, you know, he was more excited watching his brother. You know, stuff that, not that it really means anything, but it sort of gives you a little window into a guy's character and makeup. Right.
His brother actually, I believe, scored last year.
Yeah.
And he was going nuts. I mean, he was going crazy
so
on the sideline.
That sort of tells me something about a guy.
All right. Speaking of Halls, D'Angelo Hall looked like he was going to the Raiders, and now that deal seems to be off or stalled. He's still out there.
Yeah, for a second-round pick and about $100 million.
Right. $9 million per year.
That's what he wants.
So he's Asante Samuel.
That's basically the contract that they've agreed to.
Okay.
Now, you don't know. Have any interest, did something right? happen today?
Not at that price.
Good.
Did something happen today that, you know, said that that deal is odd? I didn't read anything, you know, any of the.
Well, apparently it wasn't as close as it was. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution said it was basically done.
Yeah.
And then Hall himself came out and said, whoa, it's not almost done. And so it wasn't quite as close as it was reported.
He's trying to still keep other teams interested, it sounds
right.
like.
And I like Florio does a good job of sort of like taking the next step. And how he was talking about the other guy, I don't even, Oshimanga or whatever.
Yeah.
And how if he's smart, if they're looking to trade for D'Angelo Hall, he might want to sign that franchise tender that they could pull off the table if they get there, if they decide he's their franchise corner, and then just let him hit the open market now when, you know, there's not as much money necessarily out there, and it'd be interesting.
Were you surprised? Did you read, I forget where I read it.
Rolling the dice if you do it the other way.
Yeah, you know, you are.
Someone could step in and, you know, there wasn't a corner of his ability. It was only one corner of his ability out there, and that was Samuel, and he was gone in 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe someone else wants a corner like that and didn't really get a chance to.
Or you could trade for him, too. If he does sign, you can still be traded for.
Well, you guys,
that's true.
I read somewhere today, might have been Pro Football Talk, about the debt that the NFL has.
That's a big issue.
I hadn't read it today, but I have read about it in the past. It's, you know.
I'm wondering how they calculate that, because I'm wondering, like, it's all the teams put together.
Right.
So, like, if the Patriots, let's say, build a stadium and they take loans out to build that stadium, I'm wondering if that debt is included in that number.
Yeah, I would assume
so. And
so.
In that case, I could understand why it still seems high to me, but it makes more sense to me. But otherwise, how could a team ever have debt? I mean, all they do is make money.
I was going to say, how badly are they in debt?
Well,
it's like, what is it?
It's billions.
It's billions.
It averages out to 200 million per team or something ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like hundreds of billions of dollars.
It's a lot of money. It's the highest of any of the sports leagues.
That totally shocks me.
Yeah, and I guess baseball is like $3.1 billion in debt.
But, it doesn't mean you're necessarily losing money. I mean, Fred, you make a lot of money, and you still have a mortgage. You
sure,
still owe
we're all
money.
In debt. Yeah, right. Well, you don't have a mortgage. But
I do have a mortgage.
No, you
but
don't.
But my point is, you can be doing well and still be on paper, you're in debt. There's not a lot of people that just have their
like
home.
Credit. It's
like that commercial.
Credit card debt. So
Who's that? What's that guy in the commercial that talks about all the things he has? How do I do it? Oh, I'm in debt up
to
my
eyeballs.
Well,
he might be the extreme. But
right.
And a lot of people, you know, you borrow money because you want to have some money in savings. You don't want to spend all your money. So I think some teams do that. But the players are accusing the league now because they've lowered the ceiling of collusion because it's hurting the amount of. Because some teams borrow money for signing bonuses.
Right.
So they're saying it's hurting their free agents and hurting the players. I just think it's one of the many issues that seems to be coming to a forefront in what could be an ugly.
Well, again, I'd like to know
some labor strife.
Yeah, I'd like to know how they calculate that and like what each team's debt is and how it all adds up.
Ask Jonathan.
But I'm not buying the whole collusion thing. I think if
you know who's not in debt,
what?
You know who's not in debt? The Bengals. They didn't contribute to that.
Yeah, right. Because they don't spend any money. But, you know, I'd just be interested to see. And, you know, I think it's a good idea to lower debt, especially in this economy.
Well, but you need to spend money to make money.
Bad news in the economy yesterday. The whole Bear Stearns thing. Yeah. They're saying if you have any money that's in non-federally insured accounts, you should get it out.
Well, if you're diversified, you shouldn't have anything to worry about anyway.
My 401k keeps saying minus.
Yeah, I keep losing money.
Are you really?
Yeah.
I'm like minus 6%, I think, for this year. I was plus last year.
What do you what
Lord only knows.
I'd have to check mine to know what
I got. I got to get my 1,200 out of there.
You know, so it's scary.
But
scary
the Fed
time.
Today, the Fed's supposed to lower the rate a full percentage point, the largest in 50 years.
Perfume on a pig. What? Perfume on a pig.
I don't know what that means, but it's funny.
We're in the middle of a huge correction, and there's no little gadget you're going to do to stop
perfume. No, but they're trying to help it out, right?
You can slow it down, but it's coming.
The big thing right now is gold. Have you seen that skyrocketing?
Going way up.
Gold parties are all the rage, where you get these companies to come to your house, and all your friends come over and pour out all your gold, and they write you a check for like $1,200 and melt it down.
Yeah.
You should have one of those.
I don't have any gold.
I bet you got a ton of gold in your house.
You know, it's
first of all that
your
toilet,
property.
That toilet seat cover that I went to the bathroom on that was gold plated. You can melt that puppy down.
You probably have like a gold mine on your property. You don't even know it.
You know, you should start mining your property.
All right.
I told he's looking for that granite stuff.
That's what I think
Western
the money's
Mass.
In granite. $32 million or whatever that, a billion or whatever the hell it was.
Granite countertops are expensive.
Fred, you ever
No, you just put them in.
You ever heard of St. Joseph's Day?
I've heard of St. Joseph's aspirin.
No, St. Joseph's Day.
No.
I think that's
we had a big discussion yesterday in the office.
And nobody from Italy has heard about it.
Did you ask your family?
He says he's kind of heard of it, but he's never celebrated.
I'm told it's a Rhode Island thing.
Well, it's celebrated a lot.
This is not making fun of you. No, I'm talking to Pete Shepard, who's a big Rhode Island guy.
It's big in Rhode Island.
St. Joseph's Day yesterday, and we
Pete is a big Rhode
similarly
Island guy.
Were making fun of him the way they're, you know, evidently Tom and Andy were making fun of you.
I wouldn't say you guys were making fun.
Kevin McNamara, who worked for the Providence Journal, lives in Rhode Island.
Yeah.
He called in. We were talking about the NCAA tournament. And in doing so, Pete said, Kevin, will you tell these guys about St. Yeah, it's St. Joseph's Day is a pretty big deal.
What
in
do
Rhode
you
Island.
Do on that day?
But there's a lot of things that are big in Rhode Island that no one else in the world cares
Evidently,
about.
Evidently, well, this is one of them because I'd never heard of it
until
yesterday.
But isn't it funny, though? Leave it to us stupid guineas to have our holiday 2 days after St. Patrick's Day, you know, where no one cares about it. And
now, what did he discover?
It's like the NHL doing that anything. Hockey.
Yeah.
Joseph is the father of Jesus.
Right, the carpenter.
He's the patron saint of carpenters. He's also the patron saint of Italy, and his feast day falls on the 19th of March every year, 2 days after St. Patrick's Day.
Okay.
And the big tradition is you eat zeppoli, which is the Italian pastry, like a cream puff. Yeah.
Okay. You know how the Irish made a holiday so they could drink?
Right.
The Italians made one where they could
eat. So you could eat.
Sure.
Basically,
have you ever gone to the North End festivals in the summer?
Oh, the Feast of St.
Anthony's? Oh, they're great.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, and you're supposed to wear red. Like on St. Patrick's, you wear green.
Paul's a
day
early.
On St. Joseph's, you wear red. That's okay. The color of the day. So I better see you wearing something red tomorrow. I'm going to be very upset.
I'm not Italian.
Oh, I'm not Irish, but I wear green on St. Patrick's
Day. You're an
idiot. I refuse.
You refuse. What do you wear?
What?
You just don't wear.
I just put on what I put on. I don't even think about it.
I didn't even give it a second of thought.
There's too many made up
holidays.
More
people made fun of me yesterday for not having any green on. I don't know.
Fred,
but Tom
Fred
was right
and Paul,
about
you
one thing.
You guys are old. Remember when we were growing? No, I'm putting myself in it too. Remember when we were growing up? Did you ever hear of Cinco de Mayo? Like no one ever heard of it.
No.
Now all of a sudden,
it's another drinking holiday.
Now all of a sudden, everyone it's Cinco de Mayo.
That's
who
another
cares?
Drinking holiday.
It's another excuse to drink.
Right. Speaking of St. Patrick's Day, though, two issues. First of all, we have no one listening today because all the Irish people are passed out and recovering. Second of all, for you, our good friend Patty in Ireland, I have a joke for you. What's Irish and stays out all night? Guess?
Miles O'Cat.
Oh, you're supposed to
patio
us.
Furniture.
Nice.
Patio Furniture.
Right, which one?
Did your wife tell you that one?
No, I heard it on the radio.
He went when he was going to buy his
read
patio
that on
furniture.
Dixie cup?
No, it was a popsicle stick.
Tom was right, though. St. Patrick is...
He's Italian.
His parents were Romans.
Just like I said.
So, St. Patrick's a paisan. Just so you know.
Tom, big just like you. I said.
Fred's
among the noted clerics.
I just want food.
Tom Casale.
Why doesn't it? If we have any Italian listeners, we'd
Biblical
like you to
scholar.
Send in some food. We'd like to celebrate St. Joseph's Day a
get
day early.
But I think you're right. I don't think we have anybody
strippers
listening
is on
right
it.
Now.
Nice strippers.
Is on what?
Lunch.
Yes, I love strippers.
Well, I did make a purchase
this weekend.
We were coming
up on the 12/22 break.
You made a purchase?
I did make a purchase this
a gun?
Weekend. Another gadget.
Fred, I got a .22. Can you buy me some bullets?
Why can't you?
What does he need a gun for? Doesn't a 20?
Do you
that a
see
real
the
bullet?
Size of his property?
Yeah.
He's got to keep intruders
well,
out.
Don't you need like a license?
I don't have an FID.
There
I don't
need
people living on there.
I don't
even
think you
know
an FID to
he's
buy
got,
ammo.
Like, vagrants. He's got to keep them off the property.
I had a gun in my basement, and I thought it was a BB gun, and I asked the little kids next door who shoot, and he's like, "Oh no, that's a .22."
Oh my God! I shot my eye out.
Yeah. So I can just go to Dick's and buy ammo.
I think you can buy ammo without an FID, but I'm not sure. Maybe it's
Listen. Fred, how do I get one of those sawed-off shotguns? I just take a test?
So I can shoot myself right now?
Go over to your police station and just, you know.
I just want to have one with me in case they tell me, you know, you got 2 months to live, and then I start on my little rampage.
Lipstick list.
Oh.
I got to be careful with him. I never know with him. Some days I think we're tight. Some days I don't know where he's
going. I'm telling you right now, if the doctor said you're gone in 2 months, I'd say, how sure are you? And if he said 100%, that's it. I'm going off.
Well, you'd need the shotgun to put to his head to say how sure are you, first of all. Then you'd get your honest opinion.
Yeah, but
right
then he'd
there,
get arrested before he even got to do his little spree.
Well, the doctor would be first, obviously.
Tom, you really don't want a sawed-off shotgun. At the most, you're going to get two shots off at a time. You need a semi-automatic so that you can...
Who's at the top of the list there?
There's a couple of people roaming around
in the office.
Not really in the office. I haven't known you guys.
You
got to
do something. Not necessarily in the office, but in the building. Come on, you got to hook me up.
He's got grudges from back in upstate New York. Don't
yeah,
you?
Oh, well, a couple of people going to take the dirt nap.
Yeah, I parked behind you, Johnstown Browns.
Yeah,
what's that?
It's where they got the car. It's Browns Ford.
Oh,
so it just it's Browns and it says Johnstown on it.
Okay.
So what was your big purchase?
No, I bought a gadget. It's the man groomer.
Yeah. He did. He's telling
I bought the man groomer.
What the 35 seconds that I saw him.
What's a man groomer? And please don't tell me it grooms anything below the belt.
It grooms anything anywhere. And basically, unwanted hair wherever it might be.
So what electronics?
Is it? Certainly not
it's
on
a,
my head.
It's a razor. It's an electric shaver.
What does it look
but
like?
But it's got a handle. It folds out and then extends so you can reach all parts.
Fold. What?
And it based on your gestures, like this, you use two out, hands with it? How big is it? Out.
What?
Yeah. Two hands?
Does it have one of those rip cords that you have to pull it to get it started?
No, it's got a handle that, it comes folded up and then it folds out.
And where are you shaving that you can't reach?
Everywhere. Everywhere.
You know, Fred, when I see these commercials on TV and I say, now who would buy that?
Now I know.
He's the guy on everything on TV.
And for God's sakes, can you order the ShamWow so I can see it?
What is it?
The ShamWow.
What's that?
It's that chamois cloth that picks up
everything.
Oh, I've seen that.
It just sucks the water from everywhere.
It's like
amazing.
Ten times better than a sponge or something.
And it's got a funny looking German.
Cloths.
Well, chamois cloths, what the
as well as that,
I have never seen
the guy pours a Coke on the rug, lays the cloth on it, doesn't even really press it down, picks the cloth up, holds it over a container, squeezes it, and five Cokes comes out of the thing.
I mean, I haven't seen the commercial, but you've seen
car washes. You've never seen ShamWow?
I don't watch commercials.
ShamWow is a great
invention. I got to be honest.
See, they came up with a remote.
We need them to, suspend Belichick for a year or something. We're in trouble. We're in big trouble. I mean, we're only, 20 minutes in.
We're ShamWowing.
Wow!
I thought I'd get my purchase out of the way.
Where did you purchase this thing? Was this an infomercial I've seen on TV?
I wouldn't buy it because I was embarrassed, so I told my wife to get it, and I think she got it at Bed Bath & Beyond.
What the hell was that?
That's how you have to say it. Bed Bath & Beyond.
We got a big day tomorrow. We're going to go to Home Depot. Maybe Bed Bath & Beyond. I don't know.
This time.
I don't know if we'll have enough time.
You made her buy it here, huh?
The
one by the stadium.
Yeah. No, actually, it was in Attleboro. Yeah.
So, proving my point.
Now how big is this thing?
Not even Fred will go to the Bed Bath & Beyond that's here. He goes to Attleboro.
What's that?
How large is this thing?
I'd say fold it up. It's about 10 inches, and then you unfold it.
It's got a
handle, and then it extends, so you can get anywhere.
I'm unbelievable.
Again, where are you shaving?
I'm with Andy.
But I'm not bringing it in.
I shave different spots, and I'm not going to get too in-depth. I can reach all of them. Where are you shaving?
On your back? Can you get your back?
I can have Allison
right,
do
you
it.
You have a wife.
Your wife would do that
can't
for you?
Can't depend on someone else to do
it.
Yeah,
why does somebody think, it's the same thing. It's the same hair that's on your head. It's just.
I know. I don't know if the woman would be grossed out by doing it.
Taint allowed to say that word on the air in terms of where Fred might be grooming.
Oh, man.
But he should be able to reach that. I mean, I know he's a little portly.
That's my point. Where is he shaving?
Let's see.
If you're going to shave.
Emailer says, I can't believe Andy bought a man groomer. No, Fred did.
Andy fine in the male groomer section.
He is being vague about what it is. The man groomer is a device for hairy guys to shave their nasty backs.
You have a nasty hairy back?
No, I don't. But
I know you have a hairy chest because it's hanging out.
I have a little bit, but now I don't have any.
Because you like to share it with us every day.
You know?
So you shaved your back.
Yeah.
Yeah. What, you got a competition coming up? You going to oil up too?
What about the front there?
I'm not going to shave the front.
Well, you know what's going on here, Ian?
Why is the sign of my virility?
Got the perfect
push-ups. Wait a minute.
Now, all the pictures and the videos that come with it, the guy's all lubed up and smooth.
So you want to look like a throw rug? You got nothing on the back and everything on the front.
What is wrong with you? Was this all your idea? Was Nikki involved with this decision at all?
The man shaved his back, and he's leaving the front alone.
I'm not going to shave the front.
He's proud of that, clearly.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount he shows that off.
What did you just call it? A sign of your virility?
Yeah.
That's just really frightening.
It is.
But why are you shaving? You're 47, 8, whatever you are, years old, and you're shaving your back. Why now?
Because they didn't have the man groomer when I was a kid. I don't know.
For the pool, so you can get that better.
I just wanted to see what it was like.
He's doing laps.
I've decided that everything on those TV things are either $19.95 or $39.95. That's the two prices that they go with.
You just figured that out.
Yeah. He's quick.
Then gets by him.
Let me guess, you even believe it when they start with a higher number and go, but wait, today only, and they cross it out three times.
You order before midnight tomorrow.
Next 10 minutes. We can't keep this all day long.
Mangroomer.com.
Oh, God.
The essential do-it-yourself electric back shaver.
Oh, my God. Oh. Did it work well?
You spent money. It was great. I was very pleased.
But you can send Nikki to buy it. Why didn't you just have her shave your back?
I'm not. She won't do that.
Or you can just, like, I just have one spot on my shoulder where it comes in sometimes. All I do is take the wax strips, take it off. It's for 3 months.
Well,
I don't have to worry about it.
You can't reach all with the wax.
And the wife won't do it for you.
Do you have a wife or no?
Yeah.
Did she tell you to shave your back?
No, not at all. She said, why are you doing that? You don't need to do that.
Are you going through a midlife crisis?
I just thought I'd try it out.
You really are. The guns, the talk of fly fishing in Wyoming, the Cadillac.
Well, that's nothing to do with
shaving your back.
You going to Wyoming now?
No. I've never been to Wyoming in my life. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
He wants to. You have issues. Yeah. Oh, I'll pass that over here. Is that the picture of it?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Unbelievable.
All right, should
we get through a half hour without talking Patriots?
Should we get back to football or get to some emails,
Bob,
or something?
You're a loser!
Or get to football?
A lot of emails. We talked about talk radio
last
Thursday.
If you paid me.
A lot of people responded to that.
We talked about what last week?
Talk radio.
Oh, whether there's room for another.
Yeah. Were you here Thursday?
Yes, I was.
Have you ever been on this show before?
Yes, I was.
Who are you?
I have no respect for the man because he bought this thing.
How much was it? The guy who's at every other show. He's asking me if I was here.
Let me see.
$40 for this thing.
Electric back shaver. Why the man groomer?
Jeez, I forgot how many missed opportunities Atlanta had in that Super Bowl against Denver, by the way.
A ton of them.
Could have been a lot closer
game.
What do you see?
They move the ball.
Andy, tell people what you're reading.
This thing looks stupid.
It's not stupid. It works.
The idea of shaving your back, stupid. The idea of buying that thing to shave your back, stupider.
Why? Jerry did it on Seinfeld.
No, he shaved his chest.
He shaved his chest.
Yeah.
He would have shaved the back if he could.
Are you going to go crazy?
They didn't have the man groomer back then.
Kramer comes in and says, you can't do that. It goes back thicker. Oh, that's an old wives' tale.
Is it?
Oh, is it?
Well, you really went bald there, didn't you?
It's not an old wives'
Look,
tale.
How the man groomer can improve your life, summer essentials, spark up your romance, gain confidence, less sweat, body odor, and muscle definition.
What in the hell is going on? On your back?
I'm
you want a more defined... Do you have a show this week?
That's what I need, more definition.
All
between,
these benefits,
between,
I am now
between
enjoying.
My nuts.
Do you pose in front of the mirror?
No.
You've never flexed?
Come on. No.
Because I think you
well, everybody's
flexing
flexed.
Here.
Everybody's flexed.
Oh, yeah. How you're going to hit Paul by flexing your tricep?
I was going to say, you flexing
will
here in the office.
Will you explain to Fred that someone who looks like him can't get more definition by oiling up? You have to look like one of those bodybuilders to do
you
that.
You actually need to have some muscle.
Oh, when you get a tan, you get more definition.
Yeah, a lot more.
You know?
Yeah, when you have muscle.
I have a lot of muscle.
It's just below 17
right
layers
now.
Of lard.
Paul's just shaking his head.
Maybe all the perfect push-ups
right,
working
lose
for you.
50 pounds Excellent. And maybe we'll see it.
You like
I really
that thing?
Am
worried about you. This whole trend, this whole perfect push-up Cadillac, the talk of
How's
packing
the Weight
it in,
Watchers going
Weight
for
Watchers,
you?
Flat abs.
I got to get that book from you.
Okay.
So you haven't started
I'll talk
it.
To my mother
I got to give you $10, right?
Well, she's going to send it to me.
All right. I need the book.
All right.
So you haven't started it is what
no.
you're saying.
So he's been eating like crap.
But I do, I you know, I
he guesses.
Watch what I eat.
What?
Yeah, you
watch
look
it go down
you,
your
freaking
put it in your mouth, right?
What's that?
You watch it as it's on the plate and you put it in your mouth.
No, I've been careful. I'm not going crazy.
Do you do any cardio?
What? I played basketball on Sunday.
What?
He played against the students.
I broke my finger.
Kids against the adults.
Oh, what are you
That's his cardiovascular
finger?
Workout for the week.
I can't.
See, at
I
least I don't pretend.
It.
I just tell you, no, I don't work out.
Oh, my God.
But just so you know, one time playing basketball is not doing cardio.
It's better than nothing.
How often do you
No,
do
it's not.
Not really.
Yeah. Heard.
No.
What?
How often do you do basketball or any other
Once
cardio?
Once a year.
When there's a charity kids versus parents game or whatever the hell it
well,
is.
Well, when I was playing tennis, but that was last summer.
That was in the 60s.
Why'd you give it up?
The guy that I was sneaking off from work with got fired. hopefully not because he was playing tennis with me, but he's gone.
Oh, God.
Well, I do think that might have played into it from what I've heard.
Yeah, so that's done. I got to find somebody else.
Twice a week these shows are, huh?
All right.
Let's cancel Thursdays.
Well, we should cancel Thursdays.
Well, when Fred dies on the air, it'll bring a boost in the ratings.
We should take a break because we have a lot of emails I have to get to. All right.
you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free exclusively from the New England Patriots. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
You never know what'll happen when Fred Kirsch hosts PFW in Progress.
Anything's possible with Commander Cuckoo Bananas in charge.
Patriots.com Radio.
All right. Welcome back to PFW in Progress. I have no problem telling you about my man groomer.
Obviously.
We have a problem hearing about your man
groomer. As I imagine the listeners do.
Yes.
It's disgusting. But, you know, that's listener.
That's what makes good radio good,
that's
is when you're honest.
Pants.
You have to be honest.
But you know this is a slippery slope.
Why?
People that start grooming areas generally start grooming other areas.
Why?
And pretty soon we know where you'll be grooming.
And be careful.
Well, you don't take care of yourself down there?
No.
Why not?
Au natural.
But you can't let it go forever.
I didn't know it grew forever.
I'm coming up on 40 years in. I've never touched it.
I think mine is topped out.
Okay. I take care of business, don't
I? Yeah, you got to take care of a little
bit.
Reason,
why? You don't even have sex.
Right. The only reason I do it is because it makes my penis look bigger.
That is true. That is true. They always say you shave and you lose a little belly fat and your penis looks a lot larger and grows.
You should see it. It's amazing.
Fred, you shave and lose that thing.
I don't
thing
think
and
we should see it.
You'll be John Holmes over there.
Wow.
Cox is pretty big in Rhode Island, right?
All right.
Only if it shaves. PFW in Progress, however.
Speaking of, Anthony in Naples is on the line.
Anthony, how you doing?
Guys, are we talking about scrotum shaving now?
Yes. Full pubic area. Do you partake in such an experience?
Oh, absolutely.
There you go.
Good man.
Oh, yeah. You got to keep it clean down there. The girls appreciate it, you know, when they go down there. Because I appreciate it if I go down on a girl, you know.
Absolutely. You don't want to have, you know.
I had to ask Anthony a question. I wanted to see if he sent me a thing to do a tournament. That's the only other Anthony I know.
Now, Gary, where's the line that we crossed? What exactly
was
the line.
Well,
I couldn't get to next topic quick enough.
Blank down there. You can't say that.
Going?
I don't mind a landing strip.
You can't say go? Like
no, he's calling back.
You know what?
You do want it nice. You appreciate it when they keep it nice.
Oh, God.
You know?
I'm telling you, Belichick for suspended for a year.
The final PFW in Progress show ever. You're enjoying it right now. Unbelievable. Anthony's back, I think.
He's banned for the day.
Oh, he's banned for the day?
Wow, Gary's tough.
Gary dropping the hammer.
Wow. All he said was the word going.
All right. Well, on Thursday we were talking about whether or not there was room in Boston for two, you know, good sports radio shows. You know, because
I have a question. Are there any cities in America that have two competitive sports radio stations?
I believe that there are, but I don't know that for sure.
Like New York, you hear The Fan. Is there a second in New York?
I don't think so. Mm. I mean, there's an ESPN radio, but that's not really a competitor.
But see, that would be – that's one of the cases against it. I mean, if in New York they can't support two, how would they be able to do it in Boston?
I mean, I don't know that they don't have
just seems
another one. But counterintuitive.
Especially in New York where you think – with, you know, there's that divide, Yankees, Mets,
sure.
Jets, Giants.
Right.
You think there could be two separate.
A station for each of those.
The thing about The Fan, though, is they actually talk about all sports, not just New York sports.
Right.
So I'm not sure that anybody really could compete with that.
Anyway, Eric says, let's see, where's Eric from? He doesn't say. He says, the two guys on 1510 in the morning are the best sports option in the morning around here. Granted, they aren't very good, but better than the number... The No Sports EEI in the morning and ESPN in the morning is unlistenable. Be sure to have your radio set to switch to Imus to get a little news and a laugh or two. Is Imus coming back?
He is back.
He is back.
He did a live show yesterday from Boston, I believe.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
The annual Kiss Me, I'm Imus show.
Midday EEI is nearly okay, though Coward is okay sometimes also. Who's Coward?
Colin Coward. Mike Vrabel's idol.
Oh, is he on ESPN?
Yeah.
Okay. And Felger, though, I get sick of the contrarian stuff. I know it's his hook. It's better than EEI afternoons, though I switch back and forth because they're rarely both at commercial at the same time.
Give me a break.
And thankfully, I'm not allowed to listen to sports radio at night except live sports.
See, that guy's he clearly doesn't like EEI. Every segment, he was looking for an option. That's my point. I think there is enough of those people you dedicate yourself, you have listeners.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not sure. You know, EEI is such homers for all the sports that I can't really understand the anger that goes to a lot of fans that just don't like it. I mean, they're over the top homers for the Patriots and Red Sox. Over
nice
the top.
Package.
And
you can say that, but you can't say going down.
Well, but I also think though that I think there are a group of sports fans who always say, "Well, I just wish they would just talk sports, and I wish they would talk about other sports besides the Boston teams." And I think that group is large enough to support
not
a sports
around.
Station.
I'm talking about.
I think in
local
order to
sports.
Become a big sports station with a lot of advertising, you got to be entertaining. You got to be.
Right.
You can't be just sports all the time. You can't do
now,
it.
Now, I've heard a lot of people talk about the morning show. They want them to stick to sports. That there's a pretty large segment of people that don't like the morning show because of the politics, but I don't think anybody in Boston is looking for sports talk.
Well, I think that.
Too provincial.
Yeah, and I think that if there's something big going on that's non-sports, if the morning show isn't talking about it, you're going to switch off. So you have to cover if you're a morning show, you can't just be sports.
But what's big? They do it like every day, basically. They're talking politics.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know. But I know that you can't just be sports and be a morning drive show. You just can't do it.
I don't have any problem with it. I mean, I don't have a lot of interest in it, and I turn it off. There's alternatives.
Yeah.
So when they're in one of their political diatribes,
hey,
and
Mike
I'm not,
and Mike
I'm
is
not
all
interested.
Sports.
Yeah, I listen to Mike and Mike.
They compete. I mean, I don't know what ratings
are. A lot of people like Mike and Mike.
But
they're
all sports.
What is it, their personalities?
That's a national show, though.
No, I know, but he's saying if you're a morning show, you have to talk some news, and they're all sports.
But my guess would be, and I have nothing to base this on, but my guess would be in the morning, they probably get beat badly by a lot of the BZ of whatever market they happen to be in probably dominates them.
Right.
Whenever there's any kind of news going on. I think that's Fred's point, is if you're not at least having the ability to go back and forth. I personally don't have any interest in listening to two sports guys talk to me about politics.
But that's
but that's me.
if I want to actually hear about that, I'm going to the people that I think know something about that, not the people
I would agree.
That'd be like us breaking down politics right now. Nobody wants to listen to that.
No, I don't have any.
Pubic hair we know about. Yeah.
I know one thing, though. I've seen Robert Horry make that shot plenty of times. So for that announcer to say no way, he must.
No, it wasn't no way he's going to make it. No way that they blew the game like this.
Okay. You know, I thought you meant no way.
Yeah, this can't. Yeah, it can't happen.
Anyway, Eric goes on. He says, "What is really missing is some of the features of Tony Kornheiser's old radio show. Only had on writers and TV radio people as guests, no idiotic players, and didn't allow people to waste time with how you doing, what's up.
I agree.
Sure, he sucks on TV Monday Night Football, but the radio was interesting and informative, and when they used to be allowed to broadcast on the internet off the live air during breaks, entertaining."
Couldn't disagree more. I despise Tony Kornheiser's radio show.
Never heard.
Absolutely I never heard it.
Hated it.
I never heard it.
He talked everything but sports. He talked like I'm listening for the sports, obviously.
Right.
But when he started at PTI, I wouldn't watch it because I hated him so much from his radio show. Now that's the other end of it. Now he went in the other direction that Fred's saying and kind of. You know, does what he does on PTI, but to a greater extent. You know, the Dancing with the Stars and the movies he saw, but it went in more in depth. And I'm just sitting there going, what does this have to do with anything? So,
is he alone in the studio? Or does he have a guest?
I can't remember. It was so long ago.
That's tough if you're alone.
If he's interesting talking about that stuff, I like it. But I never heard Kornheiser, I never heard him on the radio, I don't think. I don't think I've ever heard him.
His show used to be really popular.
I'm just all for a station that only has on media guests coming to
Boston. Well, that I like. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
That's the only way
all I'm looking for.
The only way we're getting on, and that's for sure. But I would rather, if they're going to talk about some issue with the Red Sox, I'd rather hear one of the Red Sox writers or some kind of Red Sox media person talk about it rather than them call up Theo Epstein and have him not tell me about it.
Right.
Or Terry Francona, and have it. And it's no offense to those guys. They're doing what's in the best interest of the team. Much like I don't hold it against Bill when he doesn't give us answers.
Well, that's
because it's not in their best interest to give us answers.
That's the thing I didn't understand what Zolak said, and I guess maybe we're different. But he said guests were the key.
Yeah.
Fred, is that the fans really do like that? Like they like listening to Tom Brady say nothing? Because when Tony Romo talks, click. I could care less what he has to say.
I think Tom Brady says things, so I think
he
is a good guest.
In general, most of those guys don't say stuff.
I think what Zolak really probably meant was good guests.
I would say that he's better than most, but not still not.
But
Zolak,
but how many times this season, and it was more than once, did what Tom Brady say kind of drive the conversation throughout the day? You know, especially when he was talking about.
But that's intentional on part of the radio.
Well, it doesn't
They're
matter.
To call
it doesn't matter.
No, I will say there were a lot of times
he said it on EEI.
He addressed things on Monday morning that he then totally wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole in his Wednesday media availability.
Maybe you should.
And
shut
a lot
up.
Of stories were written Wednesday, Thursday, saying Brady said Monday on his appearance on EEI.
Yeah,
right.
But I think that's intentionally driven by EEI.
But he also
called attention to it.
Well, that's of course it is.
But he could say what he said Monday again on Wednesday, and many times he didn't and wouldn't.
Right. So if
and
you want to hear it first and firsthand, you got to listen to Tom Brady. You want to make it must listen to.
I said, I think that he's better than most. You know, with that, like Curt Schilling, Curt Schilling would be the Red Sox example of that.
Right.
I don't think he says a tremendous amount most of the time, but there are times when he'll give you something, that's worth listening to. And when you have a guy that will give it to you once in a while, now it's worth listening. Just in case. I don't want to have the ability to hear him say something and then not be paying attention. Personally, I just think the player interviews are a waste of time.
How about
I think most of the time they are.
I heard Dan Patrick last week. Yeah, I think you heard it too when he was talking about what his show is
He was very good.
It's on like CNN.com, and I don't know where you can get it, on the internet.
SI.
Yeah, I don't think it's really on radio, is it?
No, I think it's just on the internet.
And he was talking about his philosophy is more getting the guests, but not necessarily just saying, David Ortiz, how are you hitting lefties right now? It's he tries to go with what their personality is. And I mean, what's your feeling on that? And you too, Tom, since you're a psycho sports fan listener.
Actually, I don't really enjoy listening to any of those sports things. Like, I was just looking at the TV thinking to myself, they said, pick your upsets. They asked Skip Bayless, Davidson over Gonzaga. That's not an upset. That's an even game. I never get anything out of this stuff. Like, I know you guys really like to listen to sports radio. I find it boring. I don't get anything out of it. I don't really.
It depends
get
on what they're talking about.
Watching
that's
TV.
How I feel. There are days I can't put it on, and there are days I can't shut it off.
You know, if they're talking Red Sox, I'm switching to Sirius. It's that simple.
You're an idiot.
Let's see.
But then that's the thing with Patrick is going to depend on, like, that's going to take it in a different direction where it's not going to be a lot
and
of
it also
so it's going to depend on how that.
And he's lucky that he's national. He needs to get Kurt Schilling from every city who's going to say stuff that's interesting.
You
got to
get the interesting people.
Right. You can't just do Roosevelt Colvin is a guy who talks all the time here, but never says anything of any interest.
Right. His point was, I'm not going to sit there and ask them to break down the blitz and the X's and O's and stuff like that. You know, I can't do that on a national level for all the teams that are out there. And this is, you know, he's going for the personality and trying to do that.
And like, you know, NASCAR, like he said, I'm not going to ask him if the car was tight coming out of turn three. Yeah. I'm going to talk about.
He's talking, and he writes the way he writes, too. You know, those short takes or whatever they were called in ESPN. He has them now in Sports Illustrated. Right. That's what he's asking them. He's not asking them about their, you know, their ability to get over the hump and hit a lefty in the clutch or
he
something.
He carried
like that.
Those.
Well, the other half of
they
this.
They still have it in ESPN, and it sucks. I think it's Kenny Mayne now who does it, outtakes. It's no longer good, no longer funny, and it used to be funny.
I thought it was Stuart
Well,
Scott.
The other half of these player interviews, and probably the more important, is the interviewer. I mean, a good interviewer can make an interview interesting. And that's a skill.
That's the key.
That's a skill.
Yeah.
And you know, not any bozo can get on the radio and start asking questions and make it interesting. That's a skill being a
I'll
good interviewer.
I'll tell you, guy, you know, you'll laugh at me because of, you know, it's not exactly the most masculine. But Maddie in the Morning on Kiss 108 is tremendous at that. He can talk to anybody, and he gets them to do that stuff that Dan Patrick does. That's why he's as successful as he is. Howard Stern does it on a totally different level. You can't just, you know, if people said, look at Howard Stern. He just sits there and he asks them about their sex life. Not anybody can do that.
Right.
I mean, you have to be a certain personality to do that.
I mean,
and Howard Stern is great at it.
I mean, Saturday mornings, I think, Bob Costas has a show. It's like a two-hour show. And you know, he usually has two guests, one first hour and second hour. And I think he's really good.
Radio
because
show?
He researches it.
I know the show you're talking about.
Well, all I know is those little snippets they play, Costas Now, which
boring.
Are about two.
Oh, no, those are terrible.
Those put me to sleep, so I was just imagining that over
this,
a full
this
hour.
This is a full show. Like
he gets good stories out of people. I mean, you know.
He's a little pompous for my liking.
Oh, yeah, a little bit. But he's an excellent interviewer.
He's the Eric of the Nationals.
That's why I looked at Eric.
you know who's good at that is Andy.
Huh?
Andy asks good. He asks like those good questions.
Well, if we're going to bring it local, you know who I think is terrible? Mike Felger.
No, he is. But
because the way Howard Stern can ask a question and they play along, they don't get mad. They immediately hate Felger when he asks certain questions.
But I've said like in the locker room, like I can go and ask like the football questions and like a couple follow ups and stuff. But you watch Andy talking with somebody, and 20 minutes later, he's still there. Like, he knows how to ask those funny. You know, quirky questions.
Never gets into the paper.
I was just
going to
say,
I
didn't say
I didn't say he was a good writer. I said he was a good interviewer.
No, I'm talking about
didn't make the paper.
You would think the raw data would actually make it in the paper. Maybe he didn't compile it properly, but you would think it would be in there.
You know what he's doing?
You guys don't give me enough leeway.
He's sitting there laughing at his own jokes. He probably doesn't even have his recorder on.
Butter margarine.
Chantel, or Phil from Nova Scotia says.
Chantel, oh, Phil.
He says, since you guys were talking about sports radio in Boston last Thursday, I thought you would let you know something interesting concerning that topic. I live in northern Nova Scotia, and I can pick up EEI on my car radio. Okay, maybe that's not so interesting. But what is that I can pick up Felger's show even clearer. So every time you guys mention that you can't pick up a signal in downtown Boston, I have to laugh. Maybe you can let him know so that he can adjust his show to his Canadian audience. Maybe how much does he know about hockey, curling, and figure skating? And, hey, maybe ESPN could pick up some new ad revenue, just a thought.
Hey, ESPN's signal. ESPN Boston's signal is the same strength as EEI's, 50,000 watts, the 50,000-watt stations. However, there's a problem with the direction of the satellite or whatever.
It's pointing towards Nova Scotia.
It's pointing to the ocean. No, that's true. I'm not being sarcastic.
So Hans and Franz might be big in the greater Nova Scotia area.
Absolutely. So maybe that's why you can hear it in Nova Scotia and you can't hear it in Boston.
Let's see. Andrew writes in, and he says he just came across the podcast after Black Sunday. We all know what that is. February 3rd.
Yeah, time out real quick.
Yeah.
I was amazed at the people calling the show yesterday with you on.
Unbelievable.
People are nowhere near moving past the Super Bowl.
It was, oh, no.
Like the
last 2 hours of
the show. Guys arguing that they
painful.
Didn't make adjustments and like breaking it down like it was 10 minutes after the game ended and they're still crying. And
last 2 hours of the show was people calling
I was amazed
up talking
by
about
that.
Specific plays in the Super Bowl.
Move on.
Specific schemes. One guy wants to fire Josh McDaniels. I guess he didn't put enough points on the board this year.
Oh my God.
It was amazing. No one. I agree with Andy. People are not even close to getting over.
Well,
this
I mean, if the players are anything like the fans, we're doomed.
Well,
but
that's
I hope
one
that
person,
the players
one
aren't.
Person called and asked that, and I thought it was an interesting question. You know, do you think there'll be any psychological fallout
right.
from losing such a you know in such a fashion? My head says immediately no.
Well, you've
because
got the
we've
perfect
seen
coach.
Them,
if to get the perfect coach to make sure that it doesn't have a negative effect.
But it's happened before,
right? And Super Bowl losers have had a hard
time. Oh, absolutely.
Time. And not only you're a Super Bowl loser, but you're a historic Super Bowl loser.
That's right.
And then people, you know, were bringing up, well, I think Buckley said they lost in a similar fashion to the Colts, and that was such
it wasn't
devastating
a Super
loss.
Bowl,
but
plus,
not only that, it was an over
there.
Bingo.
Yeah.
It was,
yeah. team was the best
team
in history,
right.
until it wasn't.
You know, that team.
They weren't necessarily
you could,
favored.
You could argue that team didn't belong where it got.
Right.
Now, no question it was a disappointing loss, but this is. They were head and shoulders above anybody else in the league.
And it
lost.
Was a springboard motivating them to get to this past year.
And you wonder, can you that whole
again?
Thing? The whole thing with Junior Seau and Teddy Bruschi.
Exactly.
Will they crank it
one
back
more
up,
time and
come
all that
back,
stuff.
One more, you know, let's get the band back together and do it one more time.
Yeah.
They're going to try to do it. I think that they'll have a good shot to do it. I agree with Fred. I think they have a great coach.
Well,
do
we know that
he's
the quote, perfect coach for the scenario?
But that's what the head is saying. I don't know. I don't know what the heart's going
to
do.
Maybe they've been pushed to their limits, and now they say, I've been pushed to my limit, and we didn't win. We came up short. We got upset.
And the thing is you won't know. Like, you may think that you're mentally sharp and ready to start the season, and then once you start, you'll watch them play and be like, what's going on here?
Right. I just...
So it's not like the players are going to say, well, we just don't got it. They still go through everything,
right.
What did I say to you Friday at the gym? I'm just going through the motions today, baby. There's going through the motions, and there's doing it the right
and
way.
And what happens in the middle of May when you know what I don't want to be this it's May I don't want to be here I don't want to do this I did all this last year
we got Randy
and we
Moss
lost.
And Tom Brady
right.
yeah.
okay, okay.
And it's not a conscious thing it's not something that someone openly thinks about but you think like just like you explained it you think you're doing everything you did last year but you're really not because you want to get out of there
and it might be conscious as I told you I heard some unnamed vets on the plane coming back
that's
from football
good,
saying,
did you ever tell that
around
story
here,
the
they
radio?
Want you back in March or whatever.
Did you tell that story on the radio, obviously leaving out the names?
Basically, I sat behind a couple guys discussing the shock after the game and everything and how they need to get away. And part of the whole mentality was around here, it's so stressful, partially because so quickly you're right back at it the next year. March 24th, it is this year.
Mm-hmm.
They're right back at it again. They've had, you know, it seems like, I think, to the average fan, wow, they had a month and a half off.
Yeah.
But
6 weeks
let's be honest. When they are in season, they're in season. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They don't leave Friday at 5, have a weekend to recover, and come back on Monday. It's full-time from July 20th, whenever they report, straight through the Super Bowl. They are Patriots, football first, everything's important. Kind of guys, and they were discussing how this is different here because it's so strict in the off-season program and it's so mentally stressful.
Well, lunch has arrived courtesy of Strippers, and he'd like me to plug one of his websites. it's not a porn site.
The website, you might see some plugins.
It's definitely mainstream, but it is called thedirty.com.
And
the Dirty,
and that's
all one
not
word.
A porn site?
It's not a porn site, he says.
If you add Sanchez on the end, I bet you it is a porn site.
So thedirty.com. Check out Stripper's new site, and let's hear some reviews.
You know what I like now is every time Andy says something that he thinks is a little risque, he immediately checks into Gary to see what the reaction is.
All right. Well,
Gary didn't hear that one, I
guess. 12:56. We have to take a break. We'll be right back.
Tom Casale hit on the over this week, so he's got some big plans for the leg.
I'm going to take some of my winnings and buy you a nice gift certificate to a farm that will help you grow some balls.
Patriots.com Radio.
Gorman buries it 4-0 New England. What an opening. opening night for the Reds in front of their home fans.
Kick off 2008 with the New England Revolution and an MLS Cup rematch against the Houston Dynamo. Saturday, March 29th, Gillette Stadium hosts First Kick 2008 when Taylor Twellman, Matt Reese, and the rest of the Revs kick off the season in style.
We're going to kick off the season. Might as well do it right.
Tickets for First Kick 2008 and the rest of the season start at just $19 with available discounts for groups of 20 or more. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS, Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222, or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, information on First Kick 2008, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh my goodness! Michael Parkhurst, are you kidding me?
Revolution. When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Dumoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CMS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free exclusively from the New England Patriots. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com. PFW in progress. These guys rock.
You're damn right they do.
Patriots.com Radio.
All right, back here in PFW in progress again. A shout out to Strippers for lunch. Thank you very much. And
thanks, Strippers.
Everybody, listeners, go check out after the show, thedirty.com. Are we going to get in trouble, Strippers? Just don't get us in trouble.
Yeah, I was listening to PFW in progress and they told me to go to the Dirty, Ma. So I went there and oh my God.
That's all we need.
Why can't you do it in your Marge voice?
Good job, Gary. Good extra effort by Gary, though. Mm-hmm. In that song.
What is it?
I'm going Bruce down.
Bruce Springsteen going down.
I never knew he was.
What's that?
I never knew he was, you know. By the way,
the DB word that I don't know whether we are or aren't saying, I saw on TV the other night.
Oh, you can say that.
They said the full word.
On network TV or cable?
Tom's been saying that for a long
blonde?
Time.
Is that what that is?
No.
No? Oh. Let's see. Dan the Man says that in Atlanta, believe it or not, we have two all-sports stations, 680 The Fan and 790 The Zone. The owner and host of the morning show on 790 is Steak Shapiro, who came to us from Boston. Needless to say, Boston sports are always discussed. It's either that or the Atlanta sports scene, Falcons, Hawks, and Thrashers. So Atlanta has two.
That's ironic, since none of their teams ever win anything.
And they're not really great sports fans down there.
Yeah.
So
obviously it can work.
Well, I don't know if they're doing well.
Based on what this guy's done and Bill Simmons has done, I can go to just another random city in the country and just talk Boston sports and succeed and make
Boston
money.
Boston or New York. If
that's
you
ridiculous.
Talk, if well, you can go
Boston
anywhere and talk
so
New York
loyal.
Sports, too.
When they go to other places.
Said, I'm moving to Phoenix.
Restaurants pop up in
apparently,
other cities.
Apparently Boston and New York are the two worst places in the country to live because everywhere you go, there's right. people from Boston and New York living there.
They love the teams. They just don't want to live in the city, apparently.
That Atlanta station's pretty good, though. They have those guys, the dogs, there. They're on ESPN every once in a while.
Oh, the Black Tom and Andy?
Yeah.
I thought it was the two Stews.
Oh, maybe that's it.
I thought they were from Baltimore.
Yes, you're right. They're from Baltimore? They're not from Atlanta?
They might be
from
Atlanta.
Then I'm thinking of different guys then, because the two guys I'm thinking of are definitely from Atlanta. But maybe you're thinking of two different guys, and maybe. I'm confusing it.
Kamani writes in. He says, did Andy talk to Eric about his problems? Did Eric need a hug afterwards? I don't know. What was that all about?
What?
I don't know. And then, two, why does what's-his-name keep going off about saying anything sexual or provocative? You're on the Internet. FCC indecency rules don't apply. You're a downer. Let the entertainers entertain.
Who's what's-his-name? Gary?
Gary.
Gary.
What, Blanket Gradecki in there? Never lets us do anything. Now he's...
Banning
callers,
people.
Right. Banning them for the day. First ever in PFW Progress history, a one-day suspension from calling.
And Todd says, boo, Gary, banning Anthony. Ban Fred. He took Anthony there.
That's true. Ooh. He took Anthony down there.
Let's see. Brian, sports radio. A lot of people want to talk about it. He's the one from Aspen, Colorado, you know, the ski bum.
Mm-hmm.
He says, Mike and Mike suck. Dennis and Callahan suck. Kornheiser's show is unlistenable.
Yes.
The only morning show I find worth listening to is Bob Papa and Randy Cross on Sirius Radio. I will occasionally listen to Dale and Holly, but never if you guys are on. Oh, I see. Not if we're on Dale and Holly, if we're on our show here. Interviews should be sprinkled in sparingly. I really don't want to hear talk show hosts kissing players' arses. I didn't always agree with Eddie Andelman, but he ran a pretty good show when he wasn't promoting the hot dog safari or horse racing. I was honestly surprised when the sports talk show on 1510 went off the air a few years ago. It was a much better across the board than EEI's Crew of Fools.
Now, let me ask
you
something real quick.
I've been searching for the Super Bowlini all my life.
I keep hearing about this 1510. Is that kind of like Pac-Man Jones being a better corner because he hasn't played? Or was 1510 really good? Because everyone's saying...
The zone was absolutely terrible.
Oh, okay, because everyone's writing in saying 1510 used to have...
They had the Celtics.
You know, the thing that's a common theme that I'm finding is a lot of people like Dale and Holly and 1510. Now, what's Dale and Holly on compared to the rest of the EEI shows?
It's the worst show?
Clearly the worst show. Has no entertainment value and just, you know, kind of straightforward, boring sports. That's, you know, some people like that. That's what they're looking for. The one of the comments that we got in our survey, not
it is what it is.
Not a lot of people, but one of the things that people talk
I
about.
I hate
was,
Eric.
You know, I hate,
a lot
when, you,
of people
I hate
that.
When you guys go off on tangents. Now, we didn't get very many of those, but I hate when you guys go off on tangents, just stick to the Patriots. Some people, that's what they want, and that's Dale and Holly.
Right.
They kind of stay between the lines and don't ruffle any feathers and. They suck up to the teams and blah, 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 blah.
And you hear the same thing about
We're
the Big
like
Show,
show.
No. as well. You know, people don't like the Big Show. But I think you hear from those people, but I think the majority of people would rather have a kind of
all,
I agree. You know.
1510, when they first started, they took a run at getting Jerry Callahan, which I think would have been a huge piece to the puzzle. It didn't work. He turned it down. Eddie Andelman went over there basically because he was forced to. By that time, as Andy said, he was completely done. And they hired Sean McDonough, which I think was a great hire. However, instead of doing the personality-based stuff that EEI was doing, he decided to go in a different direction, quote-unquote, raising the bar.
Right.
And it didn't work.
Right.
Because Sean's a very entertaining guy. He's got a great personality. He's got a lot of stories to tell, and he didn't tell any of them.
People don't want the bar raised. They want to get in the gutter sometimes.
Right. That's what I think.
You know?
And it wasn't surprising to me that 15-10 didn't last long. And when Sean got out of his contract and left, they put a bunch of young guys, some of which are still around. Ryan Russillo has kind of carved out a little career for himself. I think that he is very knowledgeable but a little dry. And you see him, you hear him a lot on ESPN. I think he does a good job. But I go with, you know, Andy and I agree on this. I know Tom doesn't listen to as much of the talk radio, but I think you need to be entertained. If you're going to hit me over the head with stats and stuff, I don't really want to listen to you.
Yeah, I like a guy that knows the stats. Like, you know, not to blow smoke up your behind, but yesterday on EEI, Paul, you had all the facts that you were very entertaining. Because you were passionate,
him?
I was waiting for him to get done chewing.
When's the review?
No, you were killing people. That
is that why he got the big raise?
People were wrong. You weren't being nice about it. You weren't like, well,
you
were like, you are wrong.
So apparently you were very pro-Patriots yesterday.
No,
what happened to these two, Andy?
No,
I mean, all
when Fred gave him the $10,000 raise, Paul jumped on board with pro-Patriots.
No, it was the whole.
I guarantee you, my raise was no different than yours.
It was the whole defense, you know. Paul thinking that it was okay, but it wasn't great, and people yelling at Paul because it was great, and Paul coming up with facts to prove his point, and these guys weren't listening, and then they'd come up with a fact, and Paul would go, you're wrong, and then he would straighten him out, Paul was very good yesterday.
Well, I had one
off his jock.
I had one person try to convince me that the reason that the offense was so good is because the defense set it up in so many good favorable positions all year.
Thing I've ever heard.
To which I countered, and this is what I'm guessing Fred, whatever his name is talking about.
How old are you?
I just turned into my Aunt Camilla. How many drives did the Patriots have, touchdown drives of more than 85 yards? It was the most in the league, but it was like an NFL record for touchdown drives of more than 80 yards or whatever. That's not getting put in favorable spots by the defense.
Getting put in favorable spots by the defense was the Ravens when they won the Super Bowl.
Right.
That's a huge difference.
Right.
The Patriots, you could put them at the 1 yard line and they were going to score.
Yeah, that's something I want to talk about. I actually thought of this, I think, when I was listening to you yesterday.
Don't tell me you weren't entertained yesterday, by the way.
By you?
Could you be more specific?
And I really wasn't all that entertained by the other people on the show either.
Hey, just real quick, Andy, before you get to your point, just go in the anti-Belichick. It says up there, Norv Turner gave some of the Chargers time off. And, you know, you were saying how
– gave LaDainian Tomlinson the NFC title game off.
Say, didn't they? But I'm just saying that really shows the difference in coaching philosophies. Go ahead.
But I think there's an assumption that the Patriots are going to be fine. You know, Vegas has them as one of the best teams in football, the favorite for the Super Bowl. And I just keep looking at it and I say – the offense isn't going to be as good. I can guarantee that the offense will not be as good.
They won't break all those records.
Yes. Right.
So they're not going to be as good. You know, whatever it is, I don't know how far it's going to come back to reality, whatever that number is, 75 points,
100 points.
It was
like the Colts. They still had a good offense the year after. It's just they didn't have all the huge numbers that they put
up. And right now, I think the defense could flat out stink or be a lot closer to stink than being good.
Wow.
So shouldn't there be a little concern going on?
I think
there
if the season started
whistling past the graveyard.
Look, if the season started today, the only thing that would keep the Patriots defense from not being a good defense is conservative coaching on the other teams. If they run a conservative offense, but if they want to go all guns against the Patriots defense, I think the Patriots defense are going to have a tough time if the season started today.
So you think the defense is not going to be good based on what they have right now?
No, but I'm saying that because these other coaches are so conservative. They're so afraid to take chances.
Right.
You know, that could help the Patriots' defense. I think it helped them last year.
It might, but I also
especially
think
when they get inside the 20.
Yeah.
But when you have a back end of your defense that I don't think is going to be very good, conservative or not, I think people are going to make plays against them.
Well, you know, I think if they, you know, right now you're right. I think if they pick up a few people, they do have a good team concept, and that team concept covers up a lot of flaws.
But I just you combine the fact that they don't have enough bodies right now.
Right now they don't, no.
Linebacker and cornerback, they have not enough bodies. But then with the fact that, you know, Mike Vrabel, maybe last year was the peak. Maybe he's on the downside. We know that Rodney Harrison is on the downside. Maybe Ellis Hobbs gets worse and continues to regress instead of progress.
Right.
Maybe we're too, and you know, there's people that hate James Sanders that think he stinks. Maybe we're too positive on James Sanders. I just think there's
so many
questions.
I can also make the argument that, you know, maybe Seymour has a better year than last
year.
Maybe
he doesn't.
Couldn't be much worse.
Maybe the three-year trend is
negative. But
who
else can you make that comment about, really?
Maybe Pierre Alexander comes into his own.
Pierre Alexander.
I bet you Bill Belichick, if he could get a Pierre Alexander.
He's a combination of Eric Alexander and Pierre Woods.
I bet you there's a player there.
You know,
but, Fred, you said something about the coaching, and they're showing the Bengals up here. I think that there's something to that because you listen to T.J. Houshmandzadeh, and he's saying that the Patriots basically play a very simple scheme against them, but it works.
Right.
So here's my thinking. Why is it working? Move your guys around. Because if it was that easy to stop the Bengals, then every team would do it. You know what I mean? The Patriots didn't have great secondary guys. So they're throwing it. Antonio Chapman, for Christ's sakes, when they play the Patriots. That's a bunch of crap. You get Johnson, you get Houshmandzadeh in position to make plays, and I think that's why what you say about the coaching, I think he's going to out-coach a lot of people.
Yeah.
And that's gonna mask some of the problems on defense. Now, when you play teams like the Colts and the Chargers that have offensive firepower, you're going to run into some trouble.
Right.
But now our teams, I'm wondering, you know, the first half of last year, a lot of defenses just sat back on their heels thinking, well, we don't want to really go overboard on
right.
either the passing game or the running game because one of them will hurt us.
Right.
Then towards the end of the year, teams started to figure out how to attack that offense. And you saw teams throwing the blitz at Brady, you know, sending pressure in his face and doing different things that they weren't doing before. So now my question is this year, are teams going to say, all right, because we're not afraid to take those chances on defense, are we not going to be afraid to take them on offense against the Patriots defense that has lost Asante Samuel? Has a totally like you said, they're weak at linebacker right now and at defensive
we'll
back.
See. Well, that's the key, though. I think the Giants aren't the hunted. They're the champions, but the Patriots are still the hunted. They're still the undefeated team from the regular season. That's the team people are going to be gunning for. And as you said later in the year, how they got teams got aggressive. Where's all those people emailing in about making fun of the blueprint with the Eagles? Because
I really think that the
Eagles showed if you have certain personnel, you can be a little bit more physical with this team. Every mm-hmm. team does different things, obviously. But I think they kind of showed playing back, except for the Jaguars, who obviously didn't get the memo, just playing back and letting Brady just pick you apart. And like Paul said, they scored a lot of points, but it wasn't easy.
And it wasn't the same. There was a clear difference between the way it happened for the first 10 games mm-hmm. and then the last 9. There was a clear difference, and it was around that maybe it was 11 games in 8. Whatever the Philadelphia game came, the manner in which the Patriots marched up and down the field changed from that game on. And you're right, Tom, because Jacksonville was the only team, well, maybe the only team, that didn't play it that way.
The Bills.
No, the Bills were before that. Before that Philadelphia game, Fred.
Okay.
And that was the last game that it was like carving a hot knife through butter.
Because
and then, you go Philadelphia, Baltimore, the Giants regular season game. They scored points. They hit the 30s in those games. Well, not against Baltimore, but in the other games. But it wasn't the same. It didn't look the same. Now, we thought that weather had something to do with it with like the Miami and the Jets games.
Yeah. And Baltimore.
Here.
Yeah, definitely did.
Wins.
But the way the teams played against the Patriots changed. Eric, you know, brought up the point, teams kind of figured it out a little bit. Now, no one had the personnel really to shut them down
right.
until the Giants did it, completely with the pass rush. But you wonder what happens if it's like Andy says, they can't be as good offensively.
Well, I'm hoping that the running game is better.
No, I know, but
he means dynamic.
So no, I know. And they're not going to come up with
they're not going to score the amount of points.
No.
And that's the bottom line.
Right. So, and you wonder if the offense isn't going to be quite as good. Now, maybe they'll be very good. Like Tom pointed out, Indianapolis in 2005.
Yeah, Colts
was still very good.
Yeah.
Just even though it wasn't record setting. But now couple that with the fact that the defenses
Thanks.
Have now figured out
oh.
not how to stop them, because no one really figured out how to stop them, but they figured out how to slow them down a little bit. And a little bit of a regression on the Patriots offense. Maybe they just have a good offense instead of a great offense next year. And then you couple it with Andy's, you know, suspect defense.
I'm not saying the sky is falling.
No,
it's handing them the Super Bowl favorite title.
I still think they deserve to be at or near the top of the list in terms of Super Bowl favorites. I don't see teams out there with personnel mm-hmm. better than the Patriots. So it's not a sky is falling thing. We still think the Patriots are very, very good, and we all agree This is not the, what they have right now in personnel is not what's going to open the season. We know there's going to be more cornerbacks. We know there'll probably be another linebacker or two. This is not the personnel they're going to go into the season with.
Chris Simonelli says that Stripper's website is good. It's a nice site with hot hookers.
What? We're sending them to a hooker site?
Sorry.
Fred, what are you doing?
Thanks for the lunch, strippers.
We got lunch.
Strippers, the final send person to ever buy lunch.
Doug from Blackstone
he goes,
says,
what? We got lunch.
Send unemployment money.
That was his argument, his defense.
Fred, you were talking about your allergies before and taking Benadryl to offset the symptoms. Great idea. My uncle used the same approach with his insulin, thinking the doctor's advice was wrong. We buried him in 1998. Sometimes you just have to play the cards that you dealt.
Fred's going to die. No question.
Thanks again for the Patriots United. And he went to give me the review on the wings. He went to Bass Pro for wings. Gary, did Doug send you an email with his address? Because I need his email to send him the Patriots United. Gary's looking for that red queen.
He says, thanks for the Patriots United.
I didn't send it out yet.
I think he was being sarcastic.
Oh.
Yeah, because I believe he's ended every email with thanks for the Patriots United.
I need the address.
Yeah, guy's only been listening since, like, you know, October of 01.
Mark in Ohio says, first off, thanks for reading me. You're welcome. If I seem to put Chad Johnson in any category of Pac-Man, it was in no way intended. I also in no way wanted to downgrade the loyal owner by questioning his taste in radio. I should not talk about his listening to Stern since I continually listen to your show.
Yeah.
I guess that was from last week, obviously. Well,
Mr. Kraft is an open Stern listener.
Oh, yeah.
Jonathan.
Love Stern.
That
yeah.
whole party and everything.
He says, by the way, strippers might be right about the clubs in Ohio. Basic girls are 10-1 tattooed and 2-1 needing Weight Watchers.
Oh, that's really not what we're looking for.
Fat tattooed women are not attractive.
Note to self. Fat, no drunken strip club tattooed is no way to strip through life, young lady.
Let's see. Scott. Oh, I keep hitting the wrong button here.
Maybe the hair is weighing down your fingers. Why don't you shave those, too?
Scott is from Cape Cod. Scott is from Cape Cod. Thanks for doing two every week in the off season.
Yeah, we're going to have to cancel the Thursday show. It's the first round of the tournament, Freddie.
Oh, well.
I don't know if you heard of March Madness.
I download and listen when the rest of Sports Talk Radio
we
becomes
have
unlistenable.
TVs.
That's true. I know. It gets me through the week. One, why have we heard nothing of Clark Hagans making any visits to any teams? I was hoping he would be a good pickup, but it doesn't seem like anyone is interested. Why do you think that is?
He's done.
Maybe he sucks.
I have no idea.
That's the theory that Mike Florio was a proponent of, because the agent came out and did say there was interest, but there was no real signs of interest, and he thinks the agent's just working to drum up interest because some people think he's just done.
Well, now what is it, you know, with the Pittsburgh linebackers? They're saying now that they're all system linebackers and they don't do well when they leave.
For the most part, that's true.
And I think, I think there's some truth to that. And they said
Chad
that up.
Brown, Kendrell Bell, the other guy.
They also said it about Baltimore. A lot of the, not just linebackers, defensive
no
players in,
play
in general.
And I'll go on further. I know a lot of Jet fans didn't like James Ferrier when he was kind of an underachiever in New York. Then he went
to
Pittsburgh and he blew up. Mm-hmm. So I'm just probably the way they use their linebackers has got to be somewhat system related.
Yeah. Let's see. Two. I heard you guys mention that the radio careers of Hans and Franz was over. Is there
something? It's on hiatus.
Is there something to the rumors of ESPN 890 going down the tubes? I hope not. I was glad to hear you say Felger does a good job. I know he's very self-deprecating, but he's really good-natured, funny, and opinionated. Good things. I hope he's in it for a long time.
That 800 number, I forgot it. I'm sorry.
A long time entails the next 15 days, then you got it.
It won't be a joke on April Fool's when you turn there and the radio show is not on.
No, I don't think you've heard the last of him on radio, but I think
you've
heard
the last
right
of
back
me.
To EEI.
He'll be on EEI.
He'll go back to EEI.
And we won't.
And he'll probably steal my big show.
Felger will be fine.
He'll screw me again, Hart.
He'll screw you. I won't give a damn about Andy or Callahan or Dennis's contract.
Because I could see them putting him in the morning.
I think that would be disastrous.
Felger in the morning?
Yeah.
Really?
What about that?
Felker's with your Folgers.
But wait.
You can get it sponsored by Folgers Coffee.
He's turned into me where he just starts with like a tagline and everything else has to fit it. What about the fact that you said the person has to be able to talk news and politics?
I think he can.
He's a moron.
He's a bleeding heart liberal.
Moron.
He is a bleeding heart.
But he doesn't know anything. He brings up these subjects and is...
What, Callahan and Dennis do?
They know a lot more than Felger.
They know a lot more than Felger.
I don't know about that.
I do. Have you ever listened to him?
Yeah, he goes off about Al Gore and all that stuff. It's just a different point of view.
No, he rants and he whatever.
Jerry,
like
I mean, you can say what you want about Jerry. He's a little, you know, as they say, a little to the right of Attila the Hun. But he knows stuff.
No, but I mean, I know he does.
To compare
but
his knowledge,
I'm not
to
saying that Felger
is a travesty.
I am. Know.
I'm saying he doesn't know.
Felger
enough.
Seems to be very politically.
I don't agree with
opinionated.
A lot of Jerry's stuff, but
I am
he
not
knows what he's
Sarandis.
Talking about. No, he talks about it with his right wing slant. Everything
right.
is slanted.
And Felger does it with his left.
But Felger doesn't know.
He doesn't. As long as you talk about it, even if it's slanted, and you have facts and details and information, no matter how wrong it is, you bring something. Felger is like the little bit of cream at the top.
He
knows
talks
that
about
much.
Politics the way I do. I know just enough that I could actually have a right. conversation with someone, but if we have to get anywhere beyond the surface, I'm dead.
Okay. I had the impression he knew more.
I don't think he does.
No?
He stinks.
I don't think he does.
This
like
ball that he threw had nothing to do with his sports, Hernery.
I like Mike on the radio. I think he does a good job.
He's
with,
great
with
on
show.
The radio. He was the best guest the Big Show ever had.
Well, I disagree with that, but no. I didn't really particularly like him as a Big Show guest.
Oh, I like him.
Because you have to have some sort of base knowledge.
Well, they were all making fun of him. People love to make fun of him.
Well, that's kind of my point, though.
Yeah.
He doesn't have base knowledge in sports. Never mind moving over to news and sports.
If you take
that makes him Pete Shepherd.
If you take yourself too seriously, you can never make it on a show like that.
No question.
You have to have a character of yourself, and you have to allow people to run with it.
Right.
You know?
No question.
Good advice, Fred. Thanks.
What's that?
I said good advice, Fred. Thanks.
Do you ever think of going in a different direction with your radio career?
Like the stopping it, like New York.
Go like a more cerebral approach. And
or
go.
Just start talking at some point.
I mean, you've been hearing it for an hour and 22
you
minutes.
You are allowed to contribute
about?
To the show.
I've been
All right.
I forgot you were here.
I did too, actually. It's like Shaughnessy. I'm contributing.
Let's see. Finally, what do you think of this? This is still Scott from the Cape. We all have seen this coach be ahead of the curve on issues in the past. For example, figuring out the best way to handle the salary cap was to pay the end of the roster better than most other teams. I believe that the coach has reacted to the rule changes lately that benefit the offense by doing several things. First, he restructured his entire team to become much more potent offensively. Second, he replaced the entire damn field to make it a faster track. And third, and most ahead of the pack, I believe he has devalued the cornerback position to the point where he figures he can get by with lower-priced players at that position if he has a good front seven and good safeties. No corners can cover and shut down anyone anymore due to the strict rules emphasis that we all complain about. Therefore, they're not worth elite money anymore. Do you think any of that is plausible?
Well, didn't the league make him tear up the damn field?
Yes. Had nothing to do with the offense.
But he could have.
But it had nothing to do with his decision to get better on offense.
Well, I also think the whole he changed his entire – he got Randy Moss. I mean, that was a big part of it. Wes Welker is just Troy Brown. He's a good slot receiver that benefits from it. I mean, they didn't. It's not like he went run and shoot. He got Randy Moss, a downfield playmaker.
Well, they made an effort to upgrade. There's no doubt about it.
No, but
no,
even
because,
before Moss
just
was
because
the
guy is but not better. Because of any rule. They made an effort to upgrade because they were pathetic the year before with their
the
receivers.
The huge change was because you went from Rishay Caldwell to Randy Moss, a guy who's barely in the league, to a big play Hall of Famer.
Well, I mean.
He realized
it is plausible that he looks at it and says, look, this league isn't getting any less offensive. You know,
but I think he looked at it and said, wide receiver is one of those positions that I don't value. And then he saw, when you don't have any, you got to do something. Right.
You got to have something.
Which is why it surprises me that so many people think that he has this theory that defensive backs are a dime a dozen. You can just plug anyone back there. I mean, if you have a good one or two, keep them.
Well, I kind of think he has that theory. I don't think he values defensive backs.
I don't think he values them to the point where he's going to give a guy $9 million a year.
Right. I think if Ed Reed was available, I think certain guys, I think he would go after
them. The other thing I'll say about that, now look, I think Belichick is the best coach in the league. We've said this many times in the show. We all think that he's a great coach. But I think we give him credit for things that just boggles my mind. We give him credit for installing field turf. I don't know. I mean, cornerback. Okay,
I think I saw him out there rolling it out.
But this premise that he's ahead of the curve on cornerbacks. Okay, first of all, I don't necessarily think there is a curve. But if we're going to give someone credit for it, why not point to the Indianapolis Colts and their decision to let their two starting cornerbacks go in free agency last year? Why? Because they play a Tampa 2 scheme that most people think cornerbacks aren't all that important in. They put two draft picks in from the last 2 years in Marlon Jackson and Aaron Hayden. Kelvin Hayden.
Kelvin Hayden.
They were actually better.
Much better.
So was Tony Dungy ahead of the curve, or did they just keep doing what they normally do? And they allow their free agents, they pick and choose their free agents to come and go, and they draft well. I don't necessarily think every move that is made by a coach is done with this big master plan blueprint for the next 5 years.
Well, Belichick does.
Now, the whole salary cap thing. I mean, how well would this salary cap system work if you didn't have Tom Brady?
Well, you know, that's true. But even with Tom Brady, a lot of teams wouldn't be able to handle Tom Brady because of his contract, yet the Patriots made it work. I think the Patriots do a pretty good job with the salary.
Let me ask you this, Fred.
I think a lot of teams do, Fred.
Back to the corner question. I mean, I wasn't here back then, but you guys were, so I'm sure you share my sentiments, is that Ty Law was as good a corner as I've seen, not named Deion Sanders, I think. I mean, he was a phenomenal player. Now, they chose not to bring him back. What if they did bring him back and they had him and Samuel? Do they have another Super Bowl title?
Maybe two.
Maybe, yeah.
I just don't get the whole, well, we can put anybody back
there.
Because first you had Ty Law, who was as good as there is in the league. And then Samuel developed into who's as good as there is in the league. So now you have no one, because Ellis Hobbs isn't going to develop into that player. So I just don't get the, we don't really, I agree with Andy that they don't really value corner, but I don't really understand why.
Maybe that's the philosophy.
Well, I think they have that value system at every position for every player, and they're not setting precedent by,
except D-line.
But everybody has a value system for that position. That seems to be a highly paid position. My point is, I'm complaining about
Richard Seymour and the D-line.
My point is I agree with that. I think they do have a value system for every position in mind, and I think it works for one reason, and that's that you have the best quarterback in football.
Well,
and if you didn't, your little value system for all your positions would have you 8-8.
It also works because you're pretty good at talent evaluation, too.
But, Tom, maybe you might have hit on something, though. Maybe
they have
like
the best
you said,
quarterback.
They developed Law into one of the best corners in the league. They developed Samuel into one of the best corners in the league.
Well,
maybe
Law
they're thinking
was here, so.
He was here, but I mean, he became one of the best corners in the league during Belichick's administration.
He was great. He was a first round pick who was
Ty Law.
The best year of his career was 1998.
Now Asante Samuel developed into a very good corner. He is a developmental guy.
Maybe that's what they think. Maybe they figure we can make a guy into, you know, maybe not a Ty Law or Deion Sanders, but I'm just saying.
I'm asking you who. Like, maybe if you thought Samuel was the guy, okay, well, who's the guy? They don't think it's Hobbs. No way, because he can't play. So who's the guy? Is it Merriweather? Is that the guy they're going to?
That might be a guy.
My question is, why can't you develop the next Richard Seymour, Ty Warren, and you know what I mean? They re-signed those guys. A backup in Jarvis Green, they gave good money to.
I do think that they feel, and I agree with Fred, they do value that position, but I also think the technique involved in that spot is maybe a little bit harder to come by. And they feel like
they've been struggling to find corners.
Now, wait a minute. I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just saying, you know, I think that they might have some rhyme or reason to it in line of what Eric has just said about maybe they feel like they can coach a guy up at cornerback. I can't coach a guy up at 3-4 defensive end. If he doesn't have the ability to two-gap and play the technique that we want him to do, it's hard to teach him that.
I actually agree with that.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I don't think you can coach defensive line.
And it's
if
bad,
they stink, they stink.
Look, I agree with what Tom said about Ellis Hobbs 2 seconds ago. I don't think that he ever will be any more than he is right now. I think he's an average player at best. But how much did that have to do with them not being able to win? That might be the way they look at it. Do you know what I'm saying? And I'm playing devil's advocate from the other side, from Bill's side, from his perspective. Maybe he feels like, yeah, I can be a little weak in the secondary at times, but I'm gonna be strong in these other areas that I value, and that's gonna overcome that. I could get some pressure on the passer. I think that the way they feel is they're going to play that two deep drop. They're going to make sure that nothing gets behind them. And they did a pretty good job of that last year. As bad as we thought the secondary was at times, very few big plays beat them.
Unlike
that's because they were
unlike
going
06.
8 yards, 12 yards, 8 yards,
right.
12 yards
and
down
then,
the field.
But the Patriots' theory is if I make you do that five times, sooner or later on third down, I'm going to get to you.
Well, I know Bill's
stop
whole theory
you,
on
and you're not going to be able to score a touchdown.
The rush is bigger than the sack. They force an errant throw. But
that's what I think. That's how I think. I think it's a dangerous way to play.
I do too.
But I think that's how they go about it. Is they figure if I make you go 10 or 12 plays, well, one of those third downs, I'm going to get enough pressure to prevent you from exploiting Ellis Hobbs.
And don't you think maybe they thought Hobbs was that guy that they could mold a year or so ago?
I don't know at 5'9" that they thought he was one of those guys they could mold. I just don't know. Bill. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that if we could actually talk in the off season and we could sit down with the coaches and get a little bit of a candid assessment of the personnel, we would be so far ahead of the game. But Bill just doesn't really talk a lot about the players on the roster. No. To anybody.
No. Jason in Chiba, Japan.
Big boxing match coming up in Chiba.
Really?
Oh yeah.
I don't know. There is one. Now that I have HBO, I was checking the boxing schedule to see what was going to be on HBO, and there was a fight coming up in Chiba, Japan. And, of course,
wow.
I've heard of Chiba only because
it might be. It might be with Jason and his girlfriend because he says, notes for Tom, my girlfriend was rather angry about Tom's I bet he's banging supermodels comment. Once I explained to her what supermodels were and that no, she wasn't one.
Oh, wow.
Didn't sleep with any attractive women that night. Happy now? Two, of course I can beat Chris Ferreira. I can't jump over a phone book right now, but I would whoop him. My girlfriend could, too. He's a computer monkey.
That's true. With high
three,
blood pressure.
I know you don't read my emails, Tom. You should try it. Then you wouldn't be so confused every time Eric opens his mouth.
Well, I know why Eric opens his mouth.
What the hell is he talking about?
I just don't like Jason.
What is that? Did I miss this feud?
And P.S., am I pompous? Either way, I'm betting you're glad your job requires football IQ and not IQ, since that's where you've got the other bozos beat.
Right. No, I don't have an IQ. I'm stupid. That's why I do this job. You think you're making fun of me? You're laying out my entire life. Thanks.
And he wants to know the phrase of the day from Mandy.
Gary, can you work on that? Give me one. Give me a Japan or a Japanese. There's got to be a something.
Scott is a PatsFans.com member. He says, what do you guys think of Ellis Hobbs? Me and a couple of PatsFans.com members have been arguing over where he ranks among the league's cornerbacks. The person I am arguing with contends that Hobbs is awful and that the Pats need to get two corners better than him because he should not be starting. I said that Hobbs could start on more than two-thirds of the teams in the NFL and that Hobbs was closer to Asante than he is to being as bad as that guy thought. What are your thoughts on how
good
Hobbs
near.
Is?
I was going to say bottom half, number two corner.
Yep.
Oh,
so
I'm floating right
twos.
In the middle of all of these arguments. I don't think he's closer to Asante than he is what that guy is saying. I don't think he's as bad as that guy is saying, the guy who thinks he couldn't play for anybody.
The guy who's arguing for Hobbs, what's your argument? He doesn't get beat? He plays 20 yards off a receiver. So that hurts your defense. Like these guys, Andy was just saying, 10 yards, 12 yards.
Ideally, I think you have two corners better than him, and he's playing nickel.
Right.
That's a perfect way to put it. He's a third corner on the team.
But, I don't think that he would start for two-thirds of the teams in this league.
He wouldn't start for Dallas, and Anthony Henry sucks.
Probably a third corner on a good team, a two on a – okay defense.
Now, I'm not going to go down
every
team.
Certainly not a one on any team.
I'm not going down every team's roster and saying, okay, this guy's better than that. But, I've seen good cornerbacks, and I don't think he is one.
I think he's middle of the pack in the NFL.
He's middle of the pack for number twos.
Right.
Not all cornerbacks.
I went through about six teams in my head that he wouldn't start for.
Put him in a bucket, I think he's in the middle of the pack.
I don't. I think he's lower than that. If there's 64 starting cornerbacks in the league, I think he's probably below 45.
Oh, I don't think. I think he's right in the middle.
Well, that's how I feel.
Okay, wait. Yep. At our reader's request, I have to give our Urban Dictionary phrase of the day. And in honor of Jason and Chiba and his feud with Tom, it's Japanese burrito.
Okay.
Japanese burrito.
I love what you said.
A lot of
twice.
These have to do with food. You notice that?
This in no way wants you. It's gross.
Christy in D.C., she says, I haven't emailed in the wake of the event we shall not speak of, but I've been listening all along. I'd like to know what you guys think about Troy Brown visiting the Jets. I couldn't believe it when I read the news yesterday. He is just, is he just bitter and trying to prove a point? That seems like an awfully deliberate slap in the face.
He wants
something I never expected out of him. I guess if he still thinks he's got something left in the tank, I can understand him shopping around for other offers. But for a career Patriot such as Troy, to get to go to the Jets of all places, I can't stomach it.
You guys heard the same thing as me, right? That the Patriots didn't want him back?
Right. I don't think that's anything to do with
Troy. I don't think either is really a slap in the face, but if it's a slap in the face to go to the Jets, then it's a slap in the face to say, Troy, you can't come back.
And now, I hate to tell fans, the players don't look at it the way we do.
No.
I mean, they don't have this hatred for
Brown doesn't hate
sometimes
Belichick.
Sometimes they do.
Right.
You know, like maybe the Celtics hated the Lakers.
The old
maybe
time
the Rangers hated, you know, the Bruins. But
yeah, the old days. When
there
was
the
no
old
chance
days,
you were really going to the other team.
Yeah, when you played with one team for your entire career
and
you bought into that.
In the era of free agency with this free player movement, you know, if someone said, you know, I don't know, you pick a guy, Kobe Bryant, if he's going to say that, you know, the Lakers don't want him, he's free to go anywhere he wants, you think he's not going
to
go to the Celtics?
Yeah.
Right.
If the Celtics offered him the most money, he'd go to the Celtics. It's not it's not because of any Lakers-Celtic rivalry or anything like that. That's an old-time way of looking at it.
But I think, Andy, you hit it on the head. I don't think there's many suitors for Troy Brown.
He wants to play.
He wants to play. There's probably like two teams that are interested. He just doesn't really have that many options.
And in Christie's defense, the way she feels, that's the way that both papers kind of wrote it today. The Globe and the Herald are writing, like, this is the latest chapter in the book. No, it's not. Why? Who cares? I mean, I don't want him to play for the Jets because I personally don't like the Jets. But, I mean, realistically, I mean, really, does it matter? He's going to be playing for another team.
I kind of want him to. I want to see him play.
I just don't. I don't
I
think
like
it's that big a deal.
Seeing him in those colors, though.
You know where you won't like seeing him? Matched up against this
in
secondary.
In the end zones. With Ellis Hoggs about three steps behind him.
Because I'm saying he's still good enough with this secondary to make plays.
A couple people want to know how the workout with Kayson did the other day, but we don't know. Do we?
No, we haven't heard anything on that.
I think that was Sunday, but no, we don't know anything.
Let's see. Josh in Arlington, Virginia. I don't know if you guys heard any of the tapes of Obama's crazy minister, but he says patriots, just like Polian does. Looks like Polian is not the only idiot in the world after all.
So why didn't he hear that part? Patriots.
Why is he talking about the Patriots?
Maybe he meant patriotic.
I was going to say it must be in a more
God
general.
God damn the Patriots! That's what he was saying.
Well, the minister had one of these things where he was saying, "Not God bless America, God damn America." That's one of the
clips
that
he
was
saying.
You
didn't hear the speech,
this guy? No, I only heard the response today from Obama.
This guy's a real nut.
Oh, he was. He's a bit of a psychotic side.
Ethan, is that what Callahan was talking this morning? Comparing him to like a Ku Klux Klan type. He said if a white guy had in the past gone to a Ku Klux Klan meeting,
it would have sounded like.
So he was comparing the two somehow.
Probably.
That's what Jerry does. It's always black-white.
I was just going to say, there's a surprise that Jerry took it to race.
You know, it's funny, though, with that guy. I mean, what he said was ridiculous. But then you look at Bush, who got funding from Jerry Falwell, who says Falwell says the reason 9/11 was God punishing us for the gays. So it's just as bad. He just wasn't screaming when he said it. Right?
I don't know. You can't get past you saying, you look at Bush.
I'm with you.
Not with your new groomer.
I don't have to look at Bush anymore.
If you can reach it.
Yeah, he could never see the Bush anyway. That's why
What this country needs is a leader who speaks clearly.
Ethan in Delaware. First, Fred, what are you trying to do to me? After finally recovering enough from the Super Bowl loss, I can start to think about football without heartache. And as soon as I tune into my favorite podcast again, what do I hear? But my guy Tom is hanging from a thread? Come on, Fred. How much loss does one fan base have to endure? What do we need to do to avert this fate? Can we all be reasonable here? When was this?
Who's hanging from a thread?
This is about
Tom.
This is about me looking for other employment, I
believe.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
In light of said reviews. You got any hot...
I got a couple of things.
Phone's been ringing? He's got some irons in the fire.
Who wants to know?
Chris is from Virginia Beach. He wants to know what's the word with Adam Seward.
What is the word with
him? He disappeared.
Evidently, they didn't like what they heard.
He's arrived at Gillette Stadium and left in a trunk, and they dished the body somewhere. I haven't heard anything.
They must not have liked what they their research brought.
But a lot of times,
they'll do that, and then like 2 months later, they'll announce the deal.
But that, to me, says they didn't like him.
But there's
because they had done all their football research. That, to me, says
the interaction between player and coaches did not go as we want this guy as part of our team.
Yeah, this is a little different though, Fred, because they have to go, they have to sign him to an offer sheet.
My ass.
So it's not like they can do it, you know, all clandestine and find out about it after the fact.
Because he's restricted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris also wants to know, what about bringing in Brandon Chiller or Kalimba Edwards?
Tom, Mr. Football IQ?
I don't care. Yeah, I guess.
Tom,
who cares?
Tom's got tournament blinders on.
I don't get really excited when people start naming guys who stunk in the league for 5 years.
Yeah.
Like, who cares?
Because they're still looking for the next Mike Vrabel.
Mike Vrabel.
But even Mike Vrabel didn't stink.
See, that's I feel like that. I think his Pittsburgh career has been drastically undersold.
Yeah, he wasn't
I think
a phenomenal
Pittsburgh didn't
player,
use him properly, but he showed flashes of being able to play.
Kalimba Edwards, I believe, is a first-round pick, wasn't he?
Vikings, right?
No, the Detroit. He was either Detroit? First or early second round. He was second rounder. And this was a guy they were projecting to come in and really help with the pass rush. I mean, he's a total bust.
And I also think, with Vrabel, that defense that he was playing on in the late 90s in Pittsburgh was phenomenal. I mean, he had great players that he was playing behind. So, I think it's easy to sit there and say, well, we're looking for a guy who didn't play for 4 years, and we're going to bring him in and make him the next Mike Vrabel. Well, good luck with that.
Right.
That's what made 2001 that once-in-a-lifetime shot. You brought in 20 guys, and 15 of them were major contributors.
Right.
Number 35 overall, so early second round. So when you draft a guy like that, you're expecting him to contribute.
Yeah, like Chad Jackson.
Right, that's what I was just thinking. Let me see what you guys can talk. I'll see what he's done.
I was finding amusing when we say something fooling around and our listeners take us seriously. Josh in Arlington, Virginia says about the minister, he was saying something about Patriots in America, not the New England Patriots.
Yes, we know.
Fred goes, why was he talking about the Patriots?
Would have been very funny if he actually was, just hated the Patriots, threw that in there.
Idiot. Yeah.
Got out of a rant like me, and just, everything he hates, he started ripping out.
Todd responding to the cornerback and the value that Belichick puts on it. He says, I disagree with the idea that Belichick believes that cornerbacks are only worth so much money. They paid Samuel $8 million last year. Ty Law was paid some big money under Bill. I think it comes down to the fact that the Patriots believe that Samuel isn't worth $9 million a year for the next 5 years. He overachieved, and I'm not sure they are right, but they believe it.
And I think they're wrong.
Who signed the big Ty Law contract?
Yeah, Pete Carroll.
Yeah, that was
And I disagree with that. I think that they clearly didn't need to. I mean, Ty Law was probably not worth, I think it was $12.5 million that they cut him, so he didn't get it. He was probably not worth quite that much, but Ty Law was still a viable player at that stage. They turned their back, and they
but
said
he was
no.
coming off injury, too.
Yeah, and they said no. I don't think that was a bad move, but I think that it has something to do with they didn't necessarily think that position warrants that kind of a contract. And I think they did the same thing with Samuel, who has this overachieving thing that's really bothered
him. He did it for 2 years, and he missed training camp.
He's been a good player all 4 years. He's been steadily on the rise. He had a breakout year 2 years ago, and he continued that. He showed everybody that that was not a fluke.
From day one. I remember us
he
talking
was a
about
player
him.
From day
hey, this
one.
This Samuel kid can play a little bit. Not that we thought he was going to be an all-pro or a franchise corner, but he's one of those guys that from the second he stepped on the field, he showed something.
Yeah. Now, he made mistakes.
What are you smirking at over there?
I'm just waiting for week 13 when Sonny Samuel only has one pick. See?
Oh, there's no question
you'll
that would
saying
happen.
That. Except my guess you'll, is when he has six,
you'll be
say,
one of the guys
yeah,
saying
pretty
it.
Good
of
corner. Course.
You'll be one of the guys saying it, Fred. I have no doubt about that.
I think he'll go to the Pro Bowl.
My point is just that he has been a good player for all the time that he was here, five years. He started off at a level in that first training camp. Andy and I sat there and said, wow, this guy seems to knock down a lot of passes. For a fourth-round pick that you really weren't expecting a lot out of, he flashed right away, and he got better every year.
He's got excellent instincts, and that's something you can't teach. He's not the fastest guy, but he just knows where to be.
I'll tell you something else I like that I heard from him. And you guys talked about it last week, Andy and Fred, that he's still talking about that interception that he didn't make in the Super Bowl. That tells me he's not fat and happy. Now, maybe it's a fraud. Maybe he's trying to say all the right things in front of his new team and his new fans. But to me, it tells me that he thinks that he still has work left to do.
He's very smart.
If he wants to be one of the best corners.
He's very smart. He said that he wants to make sure that he never drops a pass like that in the Super Bowl again. And by going to the Eagles, he'll guarantee it.
You see, you can't do it like that
with you.
Shannon.
Proud of his own jokes.
Now, when did you shave your
You back? Can't make fun of anybody for that.
What?
Yeah, laughing at your own jokes.
When did you shave your back?
It was Sunday.
Because at some point, aren't you going to get like stubble that's going to be itchy as all
hell?
Well,
it's not a disposable. You use it again.
So you have to shave your back like every 3 days now?
I don't know. We'll see.
Nah, once every 2 weeks will do.
That's an old wives' tale. Is it?
I said he about shaves an his hour nuts. And a half
he told us.
Ago, I shave everything.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Are Shannon.
You aerodynamic?
Oh, no, not that. Not to
not
that
when he
extent.
Weighs 247 pounds.
I don't weigh that, and you know I don't.
Shannon says, it doesn't surprise me. I take 1 month and 2 week sabbatical and click on the live feed via Patriots.com to listen to some Pat's talk on PFW in progress. And you're talking about man grooming, back hair, and waxing. I love it. I didn't miss a beat. If the Jets sign Troy Brown, they truly are desperate, and it shows with their Bubba Franks-like signings, which is what this would be. It wouldn't piss me off from the Jets' point of view to have the Jets sign him. It would disappoint me that Troy Brown would do it in the first place. Go to the Giants, go to the Eagles, go to the Redskins, or anyone else in the
Maybe
East Coast.
Maybe they don't want him.
But some F you if you'd go to the Bills or Dolphins in a complete fisting with 7 inches
of...
All right.
Now, why do we have to go there?
And why do you have to read
this
it?
This is the part I don't get. And this one isn't all fans. This one's New England fans. Because I'm telling you, if Emmitt Smith left and played for the Eagles, he had done so much for the Cowboys. He has the right to go wherever he wants and play, in my opinion.
Not for the Eagles or Redskins or Giants,
the
though.
Hell he doesn't.
He didn't do
he
it.
To the Cardinals. They still played him twice a year.
They were a division rival at the time.
But it doesn't. I'm saying it.
No, they were gone by then.
I'm saying it wouldn't matter to me, Fred.
What year was that?
I'm saying it. It was. I think they had just left the division at that point. But I'm saying it didn't. It wouldn't have mattered to me because he had already done so much for the team.
As a Cowboy fan, can you stomach seeing Emmitt Smith in
a
Redskins
You've
uniform?
You already said it was a business.
I understand. Brown's I'm just talking about from a fan's point of view.
No, it would suck, but these fans are getting, like, they're not going to root for Troy Brown. They don't, like, with Vinatieri. Are you kidding me? These guys were Patriots. They put it all on the line for this team. What's Troy Brown's nickname? Mr. Patriot? Now we're not going to like him anymore because he plays one season with the Jets? That's crazy.
I have a different question too, and the way we have to talk about all the other moves, the Jets picked up Bubba Franks yesterday. Okay, mm-hmm. 1 year deal, no money.
Chris Ferrer was all upset.
What's the matter with that signing? If you're a Jets fan,
what's that?
Bubba Franks, 1 year, no money,
right. No. 1 million or whatever.
Yeah. Patriots have done many signings.
What's the difference between Kyle Brady?
Yeah,
I mean it's just a different kind of tight end. Bubba Franks catches the ball and Kyle Brady blocks. They only do one thing.
I do agree that the Jets are a little desperate, but I think they're doing whatever they have to do.
And they should be.
They've signed some other players for more money than I would have been willing to do. But we all agree they're desperate and they needed to make some moves. Calvin Pace got more money than I would have given him. Even Alan Faneca, who's an excellent guard, I don't think I would have made him the highest paid guard ever, offensive lineman. I mean, it might have been the highest paid offensive lineman in general.
I think it was.
You know, so I think they were a little desperate. But Bubba Franks, I mean, that's a Patriots-like signing. That's no risk. A guy who has a modicum of ability might be able to catch a couple passes for you. Who knows? If he doesn't pan out, you cut him like you did Cam Cleland.
Are the Jets better right now?
Oh, than they were last year?
Yeah.
Depends on
now. Are they a playoff contender?
Well, it all depends on who plays quarterback and how they play.
But I also think with Harris and Revis being in their second year, will help that defense too. So if some of these guys hit, you know,
it's like yesterday. Okay, we were talking about the Jets yesterday, and I made the comment that we've been talking about here, like the Jets were desperate, and I said, you know, there was a 12 game difference. There was a big gap that they had to close.
You should be desperate.
And Pete Shepard says, well, what about all those people that said the gap was closing in 06? You know, the gap was closing. I said, they were right. The gap did close in 06, and then the Patriots went out and signed Randy Moss and Wes Welker and Adalys Thomas, and they widened the gap again. That's how it works. Now it's the Jets' turn. They have to do something.
Yeah, the Patriots didn't clinch until the second to last game of the season in
06. And they split the two regular season games. Remember how excited the Patriots were when they beat Jacksonville? When we were going?
Yep.
And the Patriots coaches were talking about it, and they were talking about the Jets. So the gap clearly had closed. Now, it wasn't even, but it had closed. And the Patriots did a lot of good stuff last offseason to make sure that they widened that gap out again.
But their offense is questionable.
The Jets?
Have you heard the whole Mangini thing where our offense is going to be apart, Brian Schottenheimer apart,
Dable
from New England, and apart Callahan, what he It just sounds like there's too many cooks in the kitchen there.
Too many parts.
And now, not to mention, they need to get a quarterback who's also
What are they doing with Callahan? Because one of the things he can do is he can coach quarterbacks. That's his
specialty.
Maybe
that's what they brought him in for.
I think their only chance is if Kellen Clemens can play.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
I think that's their only shot.
If he can develop Clemens is what I'm saying.
Because I do think that Chad Pennington could get you to the playoffs.
But that's it.
Right.
And I think they should have
a running game. They've invested a lot in the offensive line. You have Mangold now. Bring in Fanica. Woody should be better.
If I were them, I don't know if I'd pass on McFadden or Mendenhall. Because let's take out, Washington. He's not a running back. He's a guy who just does stuff. You have Thomas Jones, who's starting to enter the end of his career there. You get another dynamic offensive force like that. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe that's – because I believe – we've been saying here, it's a different kind of league now. You're going to have to score points to beat the Patriots and the Colts. So maybe they did enough stuff on the defensive side of the ball during the offseason. Maybe you go offense in the
draft. Mendenhall, baby.
And there's a report that I guess they're close to working out a deal with Coles, who's been upset, I guess, with his contract. I guess they're close to getting that straightened out.
Jesus, imagine if we were Jets Football Weekly.
We'd actually have,
something to talk about every single day.
That one guy must be having a hell of a podcast
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, what's his name?
Idlebutt says, I'm a few days behind just having listened to the 313 broadcast. I really need to go on welfare and milk the system instead of working. Anyway, I've come to give a shout-out to poor beleaguered Eric. Fred, no offense to you, but I suggest you give Eric the responsibility of reading the emails. It seems like those rare moments when he's given something specific to do, his motor gets going. Really. His oddly dead delivery is very Spock-like, yet he brings a certain sensibility to the emails that your renditions, well, don't. Honestly, Fred, when you do the emails, you have this odd sing-song quality in your voice, like you're reading a Golden Books classic to a three-year-old. Sorry, that's as gentle as I can put it. Wow.
Who's
Tom.
This? Who's this now?
Idlebutt.
So you got a fan.
Go ahead.
A butt's never idle.
Tom, I love your snark regarding pretty much everything.
Snark,
but why on earth don't you bring a snack in case lunch is late or never to come? I mean, geez, show a little foresight. Why don't you? Surely there are enough crumbs in the space between Paul's collar and his Adam's apple for you to make a small meal from.
That's going to leave a mark.
For the record, Tom does have a snack.
He does.
Cascadian Farm Organic Vanilla Chip Chewy Granola.
I always bring a snack. It was just that one day we were told that we had lunch on the way, so I didn't bring anything down, and then they only had one delivery person. That was the problem.
Idlebutt continues. So when is that one-on-one basketball game you guys have been promising?
Is that
still happening?
Yeah.
More importantly, where does Eric go every afternoon when he's not at his desk? I challenge all listeners to keep up the pressure on this guy until he breaks.
Rest area off Route 3. That's going to leave a mark.
Let's see.
What, Gary? You getting mad at me after all the stuff that he says?
No, I'm laughing.
Oh.
Aside from writing to sing your collective praises, I was wondering if any of you knew how I could go about purchasing a shot of Lonnie Paxton doing the Snow Angel right after Vinatieri's kick went through the uprights in Super Bowl 34. He didn't do it in the Super Bowl. He did it against the Raiders.
And
well, he did it in the Super Bowl.
He did it in the Super Bowl.
Oh, he did it. Okay.
Yeah, he did it.
Which one does this guy want? The Super Bowl or the actual?
I guess he
first
wants the one in the Super Bowl. I can't find an image anywhere, and it's one of the enduring images from that game. Even the Three Games to Glory DVD cuts away from the shot too quickly.
Job,
I think he's
it
talking
was 36, not 34.
Yeah, Super Bowl 36.
They weren't in 34. They sucked back then.
I know when I was working with the video guys that we were trying to find that shot, and apparently from the snow game, and apparently nobody really has that shot of him doing the snow angel.
Yeah, he's not talking about the snow game.
I know, but I'm saying
someone has to have it. From
so
the
we
snow
were trying to find that, and we couldn't even find
it.
The one from the Super Bowl.
No, because you saw it on TV, but they did cut away.
They cut away pretty quickly.
And it's on TV.
But he wants to frame it, I guess, or something.
Well, I'm just saying,
I have to have had it. You pause the video. Eric will do one or whatever those things are he does,
that's
and you'll have it.
But that's
artwork.
Point.
Do it. It'll only cost you $10,000.
I'll get you the light bright.
Thank you, Paulie.
Wait, in light of the basketball, should we discuss the other athletic competition we're about to embark on?
Yeah, Paul has challenged us.
Has challenged our baseball manhood.
First of all, you have that backwards. You guys have challenged
manhood.
I jumped in on it. It was already going. I don't know how it started.
Listen,
but that was Eric.
You get about as much.
Yes.
I didn't even hear about
me
this. What's going on?
You're taking your hacks against Paul, too.
All right. Let me
you're pitching?
Let me tell you what's going on here.
Right. Yeah.
Paul's pitching, and these guys,
and no one's hitting.
And these guys have these guys have to get a hit. I am not involved. I've admitted I can't get a hit off Paul, so I'll be holding the video camera. Fred is working on all new kinds of stances and how he's going to hold the bat.
Well, he's having a midlife crisis, so baseball is probably going
to
be.
These three think that they can get a hit off of Paul. Now it's got to be a solid hit. It can't be like a little pop up to the catcher.
Paul said we won't make solid contact.
Right. That's now we're changing the rules.
It doesn't have to be a hit.
No, solid.
You have to get a hit.
We're not going to have fielders, so no one's going to throw us out. So it's going to be a hit.
It's going to be a solid contact. Like I said, if you hit a rocket ground ball that would have been right at the shortstop, I'm calling that a hit.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So, solid contact.
Solid contact.
Anything in the field.
Fly to the outfield?
Yes.
That's not solid contact.
Not a fly ball.
A fly ball to the outfield?
No, I agree.
Oh,
that's what my job is to make you do that.
Now. All of a sudden, the restrictions are getting very narrow here.
Wait a minute. Now, wait a minute, Fred. Are you talking about like you're going to hit a 350-foot fly ball to left field?
But that's like
that would be you would win.
Right. Something.
I'm
to
talking
the
about
fielder.
A lazy fly ball to center field. That's what I'm trying to get you to do.
I'm okay, Fred.
I'm trying to not let you hit the ball hard.
Mine's going
to
land about 600 feet away.
So. Oh, yeah. It's funny, though. They made a big deal about Manny.
We will not need outfielders.
He hit a gigantic 400-foot home run the other day. I was like, 400? So what?
450-foot home
run. But they said 400 on...
No, it was 450.
Well, that extra feet, really, 50 feet really matters.
It does.
In the paper, it said it was estimated at 450 feet.
Yeah, on the radio, you think you could hit off a big deal. Center field at Shea's 410.
I don't know. Manny being Manny, you know.
He's the best athlete here.
I admitted that I never played baseball, but I'll take my swings. How many we get?
All right, you go first.
Yeah, does this work? Do we get three outs?
The rules
three
are changing.
Here's the problem. I have a feeling that
stamina would be a problem.
I have a feeling
that always is
when Paul gets on the
mound. Oh, the wife told me
when Paul gets on the mound, he's going to be kind of like Clemens-like and wanting to take people's heads off. So.
No,
he promises he won't hit anybody.
Just know
like
this.
I promise he won't. But
just
when he gets
know this.
There,
if I
do, I have to sign a waiver.
Just know that if I happen to hit somebody, it was intentional.
Oh, listen. Oh,
I won't hit you by accident.
That's kind of what I'm worried about.
I won't hit you by accident.
And the bat that comes flying back at you will be intentional too.
I will not hit you. See, I promise you that I won't hit you.
That's the thing, Paul.
I wonder why.
I know that if you hit me, it would be intentional.
I'm promising you I won't hit you. And I'm trying to explain to you that I won't hit you by accident. And I certainly wouldn't do it on purpose.
I know. Wait a minute. You promised you wouldn't hit him, and you promised wouldn't hit him. I haven't heard a promise coming my way yet.
I made no such assurances to you.
I need a helmet.
So when are we doing this?
In the couple weeks after the next issue, like second, third week
of
April.
When it gets a little warmer.
A little warmer. Fred's going to set us up
it's
with a field.
Get a little warmer.
A field with a fence we've requested.
So I don't just have to put it in play?
You have to hit the ball hard.
Okay.
I think we all – I mean, why does Andy have no problem with the definition? It's like porn. You know it when you see it.
Okay.
If you hit the ball hard, everybody will know.
Okay.
A routine fly ball to center field is not a hard hit.
Okay, and what bat are we?
Maybe when you played Little League,
you thought that
was good.
You said you were going down the Cape and having one custom made last time you talked.
We'll finish up the show with an email from Jim in Palmer, Mass. He says, I tuned in around 12:30 today and spat my drink all over the screen.
Spat.
The first thing I heard was some mention of shaving to create an optical illusion. I started laughing immediately and realized that I listened more for the inane conversation in the off season than actual Pat's news. I can get my football news from several places, but where else can I get talk of Kelly Pickler stalking and Jenet Jameson as winnings in a wager? If I ever hear you guys talking of getting cerebral, I will turn you off immediately. You hear that, Eric? I love the off-season
shows. That's why Eric's got to go to John Rook's show during the season.
I love the off-season shows equally as much, if not more, than the regular season ones because of that. Thank you. P.S. Insert generic bald comb-over Rogaine Paul joke here. Also, Fred, please take care of yourself. All those guys are depending on you for jobs.
Yes.
If you kick the bucket, God knows where they'll work. They probably would have to take you to a taxidermist and prop you up at the desk to keep making a paycheck.
I'll put a yarmulke on him just in case.
Weekend at Bernie's with Fred Kirsch.
All right. Well, that's going to do it. We'll see you on Thursday. Until then, whatever.
Au contraire, man with no hair.